Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. Dan?
Yeah, what's up?
What did you do last Sunday?
What did I do last Sunday? Is this, are you interrogating me?
I'm asking. Where were you on the date of August 30th? 9th?
No
idea. What day
idea.
Is today?
No idea.
No idea.
Zero idea. What are you getting at?
None. I have no idea.
Your questions are really starting to fall apart.
No, they're getting wild.
I understand that you're sort of like,
I'm searching for an opening bit, Dan. We had one for a long time. That was terrible. Now I'm searching for the questions. We've had a good question.
Every now and then.
We've had a good one.
I know. And that's why you kind of have to ask these sort of random questions, because who knows what they're going to bring.
Exactly.
I don't know what I was doing last Sunday.
All right.
Sorry. Anyway, this is a show where I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I only know what you tell me about.
And today,
Dan,
Jordan,
I think we might be drinking a little bit different of a novelty beverage today, right?
Oh my, what is this? Oh no, Foley work. Oh shit. Oh boy, popping corks. Ladies and gentlemen, as is Jordan's wont, whenever Alex Jones gets kicked off of something, he decides to bring champagne over. Which I don't mind. I'm not mad at you.
Champagne is a generous way of describing a $9 bottle of bubbly water.
Well, that's all champagne is and all it ever will be, as far as I'm concerned.
I'll tell you this right now, Dan. It is not from the Champagne region.
Oh, no. C'est mal.
No.
Ce n'est pas bien.
No, shit. It's shit.
But that is fine.
I'm happy to be able to afford $9.
As everyone now knows, Alex Jones and InfoWars account itself have been permanently banned from Twitter.
How's David Knight doing?
David Knight probably still on. His Twitter presence is boring as hell. And this is coming off the heels of, on Wednesday of this week, Alex Jones did a one-day trip to Washington, D.C. to go harass people during the Senate intelligence hearings about social media
about
companies.
How he's a dick.
I don't know if that's really what the hearings were about.
No, I think they were.
But we got a lot to talk about. This is a interesting episode that we're going to have, breaking down some of the ins, the outs, some of the some of my just random feelings about things.
Right.
But one thing that is not a random feeling is what I feel for our listeners.
Nice transition, Dan.
And our new donors.
There we go.
I'd like to give a shout out to a couple people who've signed up to support the show. First of all, Darren, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Darren.
Also, like to give a big shout out to Chase. Thank you so much, Chase. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Chase Bank, this still isn't enough. You owe Dan $30, goddammit.
Still, by the way, going through with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so frustrating because they know they're going to give me the money. They're just inconveniencing me.
Yeah. Well,
they get a bag of assholes.
They get a small amount of interest the longer they avoid paying you $30. They are making like 3 or 4 cents off of you.
That's
right,
gotta be the scam.
Yeah.
Anyway, also I'd like to give a thank you to, Dakota. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Like I told you before. We have so many Dakotas.
Is this a different Dakota?
It's a different Dakota.
Or is our one Dakota just making a bunch of different accounts in order to maintain policy wonk status and hear Dakota over and over and over again without ever getting to globalist status?
I discount no possibilities as being
when it comes to a Dakota.
Anything. The wily Dakotas of the world, we appreciate them also very much.
Thank you very much, Dakota.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to our website. It's knowledgefight.com. You click that button that says support the show. We would appreciate it. Also,
Keep us in $9 champagne.
I set up the Patreon to be, like, send an automatic message to people that when they donated, that gave them the password to our bonus section on the website.
Yeah.
I think it might end up in some people's spam filters.
Ah.
There are some bonus episodes, not of our podcast, but of the conspiracy podcast
that
me and Marty DeRosa
did. That's what
they
want you to think.
Exactly. And I know there have been a couple people on the Facebook group who have asked about that. And so just as a broad, message, if you did not get the password to that and you would like it, please send me a message. I will send it right to you. And I probably won't even check if you donated to the show. So if you just want
it,
I'll probably give it to you.
You're really busy.
And I'm bad at this.
You are, but you know what? Fine.
I don't like to withhold, let's say,
yeah.
Things from people just because I want money or something.
Yeah, I don't think
it feels shitty.
I don't think the password is really going to make or break your finances.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. We'll have to go with $6 champagne next time.
Ooh, get some Andre.
Yeah.
Get some cold duck.
What's the vodka that you can get for like Wolf Schmidt?
Oh,
yeah.
The standard for street vodka in my younger years was Congress.
Congress.
Congress vodka was the cheapest.
How much was that?
$2 for a pint, maybe?
$2 for a pint.
In Missouri?
Bad.
Yeah.
What we'll do, we'll get some Frescas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some Wolf Schmidt. Mix them together. That's cheap champagne is what that
sure.
is.
One time I drank an entire pint of Congress vodka in one tug.
No,
might
you
have
did
been.
Not.
It was a half pint. Sorry.
No, you would have been dead.
It was a half pint.
You would have died.
Me and my buddies were going to go bowling. And,
right. And the only way to deal with the boredom of bowling is to get shit faced before you go.
I did not so much want to go.
Yeah.
But they were going and I'm like, a lot of my other friends are busy. I'll go fucking tag along with you. And so me and my, one of my buddies, Josh, he and I decided, don't know why. Let's see what happens if we chug half pints of vodka before we go. So he just took the whole thing to the head in one chug. Bad night of bowling.
Yeah.
Bad night of bowling. Very drunk, very fast.
Was your bowling bad or was the night bad?
We didn't bowl.
You, of course not.
We couldn't bowl. We just kept drinking. Anyway.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Speaking of which, I'm going to get into this champagne. Jordan, how do you feel about...
Man, I wish I had asked a question up top that would have led to that story as opposed to some dumb shit about fucking what'd you do last Sunday.
Let's see if I can cheaply edit it all together.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you did last summer. I'll tell you that right now.
Right. So, Jordan, what I was going to do, I sat down to get this episode together, and because of the events of the last 2 days, Alex going to Washington, Alex getting banned from Twitter, I knew that what we would have to do is do a present-day episode. As much as it pains my heart and soul... I'd rather be looking at the past, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Duty calls. So, I thought about it and I'm like, okay, well, I know Owen Schroer was hosting on Wednesday when Alex was in DC. So, I thought that Alex would be in DC for longer. So I thought for sure Thursday's show would also be Owen Schroer hosting.
Yeah.
So my move was, alright, let's go check out Tuesday's show. The last time Alex was around before all of this nonsense, let's see what we can learn from that.
Yeah.
Now, halfway through that, I realized, based on Twitter action, Alex is in studio here on Thursday, so
wait,
I had to jump
he
ship.
He is?
He went to D.C. for a day just to do that.
Oh, okay.
And then came back in time to do his show on Thursday. So...
Oh, that's professional?
I suppose so. So, I have a few clips that I want to play from Tuesday's show, because I think they're important. And then most of this episode will be going over Thursday's show, where Alex is sort of basking in the afterglow of having gone to DC and fucked with Marco Rubio. So, and it's kind of fun because we all know that a couple hours later he gets kicked off Twitter and he doesn't know it at all.
Ugh.
So there's kind of a fun thing there. But here is an out of context drop, from what we'll be going over today.
I'm super bad.
I'm super bad.
No.
I'm Stone in the house.
Yeah. My favorite DJ call.
If you're a white supremacist, you should not be allowed to play James Brown songs. Like, there should be a police force specifically for that.
We got my man Roger Stone in the booth on the wheels of steel. It's so great.
Oh, God.
So we'll start here on Tuesday, which is the 4th, I believe, if I'm not, I'm not much mistaken. And most of the show is about Alex being mad that everyone is saying that he doesn't have a lot of fans.
Right.
It's really petulant. It's really petty. And it takes up a very large portion of the episode.
That sounds right for a malignant narcissist.
So he's rambling about how the media is weaponized and they're trying to destroy your will, trying to break your back.
I kind of wish they were weaponized because right now they are doing a shit job.
It's tough. It's very tough right now.
We got to weaponize them.
But Alex uses this as his example of how the media is so evil.
Okay.
And so they have fake news everywhere that we're being shut down, that it's all over, to scare everyone else and to demoralize you just like a foreign military. That's what the globalists are. They're basically Chi-Com operatives. That's
sounds
not rhetoric.
Right.
Saying Alex Jones said bans would strengthen him. He was wrong.
Let's find out.
Well. And it was about 45 minutes ago, so I think it should be over here in the computer, because I just went, or I'll walk across the street, and I'll go live again. That's I tweeted it out at Real Alex Jones, the proof that we can put that tweet up. I tweeted it out.
Can't anymore.
And I went, showed you on the interface in Tim Ferger, one of the manager's offices, because IT wasn't in yet.
Tim all
the
IT, and I walked in, and I said,
pull up Google Analytics. Boom, highest traffic ever in the last month. Showed you a two-year, three-year graph, even back towards the election. Now, there it is. Now, this is what we're talking about here. And, of course, Periscope doesn't show you a full shot, so you guys have to click on the video or won't show it. Yeah, there it is. Highest traffic ever. That peak right there is right now. So this is what we're talking about here, and they know this, and I told the New York Times this, and I told them all that, but they don't care. They want to lie to you. It's what they do.
All right. So his
what is he pointing to?
What are you talking about?
I mean, he's saying that there's a graph that says it's his highest traffic ever.
Yeah.
So what graph says that?
It's fair. But he's just not telling the whole story.
Right. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking.
Because if you look on Alexa, you can look this up. Like, he had a massive spike in traffic around, like, into August.
Yeah.
When he got kicked off all that stuff, everyone was like Googling him, be like, what's up with this Alex Jones guy?
Right.
So InfoWars got a ton of traffic and they did spike.
Of course.
Then you see an immediate drop off.
What a surprise.
So it's immediate drop off back to about where he was before or around about. So he is telling the truth, but he's just using a sort of cheating graph.
Yeah.
So great. I mean, the New York Times, whenever they're talking about this, they're talking about what happened after he got kicked off stuff.
Yeah.
He's using the immediate thing as like, that's the truth forever. In the same way that whenever, he got kicked off everything, his app shot up the ranks.
Of course.
And he's like, we're the number one app. And like, you slid way down after that immediate push.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because there is like that, oh, where are we going to get this from? Let's all migrate. And then you see diminishing returns because you're not getting penetration. You're not getting more people coming around.
Well, not least of which, nobody has any fucking attention span, so any kind of cause celeb becomes non-existent 2 days later anyways.
Sure. Once the rage has set off or whatever, or dissipated.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know how great we, you know how we fixed Flint when everybody spent a good couple of days tweeting about it? And then it was fixed, right?
The thing that's a bummer
we did it.
A lot of people didn't stop tweeting about it, and it still didn't help.
Yeah.
So, Alex is not done talking about this. He wants to tell you more about how his traffic is better than everyone says.
I mean, the New York Times hands out Pulitzer Prizes.
New York Times!
Because again, it's all concerted with that stupid committee. That would be like being given an award, you know, for Jeffrey Dahmer, for his culinary wisdom. Or again, Hitler giving someone an Iron Cross. I would never take a Pulitzer Prize.
Your buddy Milo has an Iron Cross.
I would never take a Nobel Peace Prize because you only give them to war criminals and murderers and scum. It's like giving NAMBLA an award for childcare.
Get
up. North American Man Boy Love Association.
Thanks,
buddy.
This
is a group of organized criminals that we have allowed to run rampant, paid off by foreign banks and the
Chinese. Which I think Milo is a member of.
Who have a religion of hating this country and who think that they have defeated you. They think they've broken your will. I tweeted video on Google Analytics an hour ago. It's on Real Alex Jones right now. We're going to shoot HD later and put it up on screen for you. But this is off Twitter of us having the highest visitors to InfoWars.com in the month of August we've ever had.
So, I mean, he's talking about, like, they want to take you down. Yeah. And then he's immediately just talking about his own traffic.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, if they take him down, they take you down.
Such a
he's the bulwark, Dan.
So
he's
minor.
The first there.
So minor.
What award would you give Jeffrey Dahmer, though?
I probably wouldn't. I can't think
you
of
you wouldn't? I feel like he has done something superlative.
I don't know. Maybe he was a good soccer player at some point in his life. Maybe he gets a trophy of some sort.
Participation maybe? Award, perhaps?
Defensive player of the year. I don't know. I don't know enough. I haven't read any of his biographies to know about his extracurricular skills.
All right.
The stuff that I do know about him, not award worthy.
Not award worthy?
Not in my book, sir.
I mean, you know, there's a relative. Actually, you know what? Even in the realm of cannibals, he's really not in the top 10.
No.
No, he's way down there.
Not a chance.
He got caught too soon.
He's a trifling ass cannibal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people have cannibaled better than him.
You know, goes above him in the rankings.
Who?
The fine young cannibals.
I don't know if they ever actually ate anybody, though.
Ooh, ooh.
Hmm?
That's driving me crazy. Your insolence.
Okay. All right. All right.
So in this next clip.
Do that one more time.
No. You get half. So in this next clip, Alex, he just continues with the theme.
Alex Jones said bands would strengthen him. He was wrong. They give some thing called Tubal Wooble or something I never heard of.
Tubal
and
cane.
They say Jones is down 50%. To send a message to you, to demoralize you, and to make you shut up and think the resistance is losing. All of this is done military style.
What?
That's like doggy style.
You know, let me just give everybody a little bit of a newsflash.
Really?
We're bringing in record amounts of money.
Really?
But the enemy's ratcheted up record expenses, so I need a lot more. And I've been honest about that.
Whew.
All they had to do was tune in and hear.
Whew.
That
the hurt.
Thing that we've doubled
that
our
hurt
overall
my head.
Hardcore daily audience. But we're killing us on reaching new people, which is what they really want to do. I told you weeks ago what was going on. Do you want
on
to
RTJ
see the freaking analytics?
Did
My
you tell
God,
us on RTJ 2?
Telling the truth. My religion is respecting you.
What?
And that means telling you what I really think about you when you're wrong. And I feel disgraced in the human species that they can find so much traitorous trash that's been brought up in this country to man the fake news media, to destroy the truth and engage in fraud and try to bring in dark age level authoritarianism. So here it is. Right here. Alex Jones. We talk like her. Alex Jones said bands would strengthen him. He was wrong. That's how a woman talks, like her soul was sucked out.
No idea what he's talking about there.
No clue.
Most of what we would have ended up, I'm kind of glad that this all happened because otherwise most of our episode would have been like, Jesus Christ, why is he's spending most of his episode talking about his traffic and how everyone says it's worse than it is. So I needed to put all that in just because, you know, it's relevant and I listened to it, so we might as well hear some of it. It's kind of funny, especially that thing of like, we're making more money than ever.
His ability to brag and yet still give you the insinuation that he needs more money is insane to me. We're making record numbers of money, but they're also causing record expenses and we're going to need more.
Right.
It's like, how did you do that?
It's that we're winning, but also it's a tie ball game.
Yeah.
It's that spirit that he needs to project to his audience. Or else the game is up.
He's a master of fiscal judo, I'll tell you that right now.
Because if he just projects we're winning, then no one is motivated to needlessly give him money. But if it's also a tied ball game, then he can't brag and be like, we're destroying them. He has to walk the fine line with both of them or else his business and rhetoric model don't match and they don't work together.
He is a tightrope walker extraordinaire, I'll tell you that, because he's been running this game for a long time.
Yeah, until just about now. So now we get to Thursday, and we got a bit of an adventure to go through here. We're going to start with Alex talking about how he wasn't being disruptive when he went to Washington. For everyone, I can't imagine that there are too many people who listen to our show who don't know what happened when he went to Washington. But
I'm the only one who doesn't know what happened. Legitimately, I'm the only one who doesn't have any details. I couldn't avoid hearing that he and Marco Rubio got into a fight or whatever.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know a goddamn thing, and I feel really stupid now.
Okay, well, I'll just give you a little bit of a breakdown.
Thank you.
Alex Jones went to Washington.
All right, good work.
While he was,
thanks, Dan.
While he was there, he was also joined by Laura Loomer, Cassandra Fairbanks, and, of course, Charles Johnson. Chuck Johnson, if you're nasty.
Right.
Chuck Johnson, most notable recently for trying to push those fake doctored documents about Chuck Schumer having sexually harassed a staffer, along with Mike Cernovich, who I don't know if it's been proven or disproven that they may have made those fake documents. So they were trying to work in a propaganda campaign in order to unseat Chuck Schumer.
Right.
And so now he
So we got the Suicide Squad up and ready.
Yeah, so they're in effect. And Mike Cernovich also, this was really fun. He is tweeting, while all this is going down, I've never been more thrilled to have gotten out of public life and left DC.
Nice.
Even Mike Cerda, which
that's
is kinda
fun.
Like, this is a fucking.
That's
mess.
Fun.
I don't think that he was shitting on them, but kind of like, a, I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Hey, you guys do that work. I'm pretty stoked. I'm not. I'll tell you that right now.
So Laura Loomer she went into the hearing and she started trying to disrupt and scream about how she's being censored. And then I can't remember who it was, but, some senator started doing auctioneer calls like, hey, I got one over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard about that.
And then she got taken out and kicked out.
Surprise.
Alex Jones doesn't make a scene in the actual courtroom or in the hearing room because he knows that he would also just get taken out. And
yeah.
There's not a lot of sympathy for him. And so what he does is he waited in the hall, and when Marco Rubio was getting interviewed, he just started butting in and yelling questions at him. And it's the general strategy of conspiracy theorists where they have 30 points they yell at you.
Right.
And then expect you to respond to all of them or one of them. And if you respond to one, then they'll be like, well, what about the other 29?
Exactly.
And if you respond to none of them, they'll be like, you can't handle my questions.
Right.
Trap. And he was trying to set a trap for Marco Rubio. And as much as I hate Marco Rubio, he did the best he could. There's nothing you can do in that situation. It's like, Alex is coming in to try and initiate a situation where he gets to make a video that you look stupid in or Alex looks like a big man.
Yeah.
And so Marco Rubio just kind of laughed and was like, who are you?
Nice.
That sort of thing. And
nicely done.
That's as good as you can kind of do in that situation.
Didn't he tweet something in support of conservatives being censored immediately after Alex Jones was kicked off Facebook though?
I don't know.
Like he fucking knows who Alex is.
I'm sure he does, but maybe he didn't recognize him with the beard. Like, that's possible. Like, there's 100 possibilities.
Whose shitty beard is talking to me right now? Is there a man attached to that beard, or is it just a monstrosity, sir?
Is this a walking version of that weird magnet game where you have little metal shavings and you make a shitty beard on a little plastic thing? At the end, towards the end of it, Alex sort of jovially pats Marco Rubio on the shoulder, which is inappropriate. You shouldn't touch people.
Probably not.
Especially senators. Don't touch them.
I'm gonna go with remove the especially from that sentence, Dan.
Well, it's because they have-
Senators are no better than the rest of us, and that is probably an issue that we should talk about.
I agree with you, but I also think that they are in a class that is more likely to be attacked than a normal citizen, generally. Like, there are more assassinations or attempts of politicians. I don't know. If you consider just assaults and murders, then normal people are just on par.
Yeah.
Look, it's humans. Don't fucking touch people.
Don't touch humans.
Unless they want to be
equally
touched.
Across the spectrum.
So he
consent always.
He pats Alex on the Alex pats him on the shoulder and he says, "Don't touch me." Like don't like not like a terse mean thing, but like don't touch me.
Right.
And Alex's response
a completely reasonable thing to say.
Alex's response is, "What are you going to have me arrested?" And Marco Rubio's response is, "You wouldn't get arrested. I can take care of myself." And then Alex immediately was like, "Oh, you're going to take care of me? Oh, you're going to fight? You
right.
did that," which is another trap.
Funny.
He touched him intentionally in order to trigger some sort of thing like that where they get into a macho posture fest. So he does that propaganda piece and good on him. People.
Is that like the sequel to Lilith Fair, the Macho Posture Fest?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Much more poorly
different,
attended.
Very different.
Not as culturally relevant. So he does that and it works. People bite and talk about him a whole bunch and congratulations on your publicity stunt.
Yeah, he did what he got publicity. He executed a perfect publicity stunt, and I assume, Dan, there were no consequences whatsoever for his actions,
well,
right?
Then he also ran into Oliver Darcy, reporter for CNN, in the hall, and for 9 minutes held a camera on his face and told him that he had evil eyes and that he was a monster and he was trying to destroy families and history would remember him as a horrible monster. And to Darcy,
because he just worked for CNN.
Well, no, as I understand, he was one of the people who was pointing out when Twitter came out and said that Alex would be kicked off if he did the things that he has done in the past in the present.
Yeah,
like he hasn't violated our current terms of service or whatever. I believe he was pushing the
here's a list of all of the shit that he's done that you should have done.
He may have had some involvement in that, and that's why he's a big target for Alex.
Gotcha.
So Alex is like telling him that he looks like a possum that came out of a cow's ass. He calls him boy at a point. You should know
that's
he's not
good.
He's not
that's
white.
That's not good.
So,
yeah, no, I know Darcy's not white.
So there's a tone to it, and it's really funny because Oliver Darcy is just kind of like, you got anything else you want to say, Alex? And he's like, got his camera up, taping him too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What else you got, buddy?
He's just more exasperated than, and kind of amused. He's laughing at some points.
Well, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And I think this probably was the bigger problem. You know, between this and then also straight up just yelling at Jack Dorsey when you walk by him and shit like that.
Yeah.
I think those are really the issues. The Marco Rubio thing, I think you can present that as a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
The thing with Oliver Darcy is racially tinged targeted harassment. There is no other purpose for him to have been there for 9 minutes yelling shit at him.
Yeah.
With not getting anything back, not having a debate, not having an interview of any kind. It's just harassment.
Yeah.
And
no, isn't that like a crime? Isn't there some sort of crime?
I mean, I don't.
At least there should be a fine for it, right?
Maybe a misdemeanor?
Yeah. No, we talked about this off air when it was like,
right.
Your contention is that Jack Dorsey was on the up and up when he said that the reason that he got kicked off was for,
how dare
what?
You. No, I don't put those words in my mouth.
Fair enough.
I didn't say he was on the up and up.
No, okay, fine. I apologize. That's my interpretation.
Obviously, based on
in a negative way.
Based on Alex's behavior, he should have been thrown off long ago.
Right.
I don't think that, like, Alex harassing Jack Dorsey in public, I don't think that Jack would be like, oh my God, he's come close to my space or something like that.
Yeah.
And then been like, ban.
Yeah.
I do believe that based on the statement that Twitter put out, it does make sense to me that the 9 minutes of him straight up harassing a individual who didn't deserve any of that kind of treatment and broadcasting it over Twitter's service Periscope.
Racistly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not racist, but boy, it's racist.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then.
Hey, you call him boy, you're a racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have the idea that he's using this platform that Twitter owns in order to broadcast that harassment, and the people listening and watching it are using the same platform to then turn around and send mean messages to Oliver Darcy.
Yeah.
You have a situation where it's like, okay, this is absolute abuse of the platform. This is cut and dry.
Right.
I'm not here to say that Jack Dorsey is on the up and up. I don't trust his motives at all.
Right.
But they say that that is the straw that broke the camel's back, and I'm willing to accept that as a reasoning, with the caveat that he should have been thrown off long ago.
Right.
We can just sort of let that sit on the table.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
My personal reaction to it is, based on the reports of Jack personally intervening to make sure that Alex stays on the platform, I'm going to lean more towards they found an excuse after Jack was personally accosted. That's my opinion. And you know what? I can totally see and absolutely recognize yours. It's too obvious. If he hadn't have confronted Jack and he still did that, I would probably be far more likely to agree with you whole cloth.
That's fair. The reason that my feeling is my feeling on it is that I would assume that there was a robust conversation going on within Twitter's world.
Yeah.
And Jack was being
sphere, if you will.
He was being like, well, you know, let's not kick him off. You know, he was personally vetoing the kicking off of Alex.
Yeah.
And then after that interaction with Darcy, I would not be surprised if that was enough to be like, he'd be like, all right, you guys are right. Fuck this. Let's just do it.
I agree with you 100%.
No matter what the reality is, Alex had way too many chances, and he blew all of them.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with any of the things that he suspects that it is, some sort of silencing of conservatives or anything like that. This is all the very natural consequences of his actions. Now, we get back to the further problem that I bring up every time something like this happens. Twitter has entered a dangerous territory. Because now what you have to do is you have to enforce these sorts of rules uniformly. And you can't do that.
Yeah.
So you're opening up the world for the alt-right, Alex Jones's fans, the people, the hangers-on, the lingerers of his fan base. You're opening up an opportunity for them to cry hypocrisy every time someone does something similar to him and they don't get kicked off.
Pretty much.
But that's exactly what we saw after Milo got kicked off of Twitter.
Pretty much.
You had the Free Milo campaign where everyone was posting similar things that to his racist harassment of Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, they got away with it. Why did you get punishing Milo?
Right.
That sort of thing. So we have that to look forward to. But if Milo's case study is any indication, it doesn't matter and it'll blow over and then he'll just be a sad man ranting somewhere in the wilderness about how he doesn't have money anymore.
Well, I just assume that now we have this precedent set that the next time Trump goes off on a Twitter rant that is almost certainly going to be racist, I'm imagining that he's going to be kicked off Twitter. I believe in Twitter wholeheartedly that
we'll
they
see.
Will. Yeah.
We'll yeah. see.
Fuck off.
So now.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
Bunch of cowards.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, I lost my train of thought. I'm not sure what
Sorry for interrupting
was.
You.
No, it's all right. It's all right. So that's most of what happened in D.C. when Alex was there. Obviously, there's, you know, extraneous other things of, like, Alex being a jackass just with his cameraman and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, saying he's a victim of shit.
Who's his cameraman?
I don't know. I do remember the name, but it's not someone who we've ever talked about.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I don't remember the name, but I remember hearing the name.
Yeah, it's just
something
like
Brent or something.
It's just
like
a jobber. Well, yeah, it's the whitest guy they could find.
Yeah, Brent. Yeah.
Brent.
So Alex is convinced that he did nothing wrong and he wasn't being disruptive, and that's fair. You know, yeah, you're right to do whatever you want. Everyone else has the right to kick you out of places for doing things that aren't appropriate there. But the way he starts his narrative is by comparing himself to the people who were protesting at Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings. I would not be too surprised, by the way, if a lot of this is to distract from the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah.
Also, this, look, I'm not going to spin a conspiracy theory about this.
Let's hear it.
This is exactly the outcome Alex wanted. The reason Alex behaved the way he did in D.C. was to either push the limits to show that I can show up wherever I want, do whatever the fuck I want, they're not going to do anything, or get kicked off to further his persecution narrative.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly the outcome he would have preferred, because the other one's no fun. Because then you've pushed the envelope to an extent where all of your cries of, like, censorship and being, you know, forced out, like, it doesn't hold water.
Yeah, that's true.
So he got exactly what he wanted out of this whole thing.
It just seemed, you know, I agree with you. I would normally not agree with you. If we were talking about any rational human being, I would not agree with you because Twitter's ability to spread his message is absolutely central to his ability to make money.
Yeah,
so a smart person would say, do not do that.
But
he's got to do that because he has no other, he just can't process that.
As of right now, who knows if this is going to change, Paul Joseph Watson is still on Twitter.
Great.
At the same time, the way that Twitter works, there's so many sock puppet accounts, there's so many dummy accounts and shit like that. Who actually, I mean, they get lots of traffic.
Yeah.
It's very easy to disseminate things artificially on Twitter through false accounts. So I don't think that his reach will necessarily be all that diminished by him not being there. It'll just add martyr status to him, you know, in a way.
Fair enough.
In a way that people still talk about stuff that Milo does on Twitter and shit like that. He still gets access to Twitter through other people using it on his behalf.
Yeah, that's true.
And the difference is that Milo didn't also then put out 4 hours of radio a day. So
that's true.
Alex already has an operation in place that will feed the content that all these other accounts on Twitter will then push.
These are very good points.
So
I do not disagree with you on any one of them so far.
The timing of it is very suspicious considering that Kavanaugh is having his hearings that are going very poorly. It doesn't matter. He's still going to get confirmed. But
yeah, that's great. We're doing great, guys.
They're going very poorly to the point where, like, all the stuff that's coming out about his previous opinions and stuff like that are very scary.
To the point where we've pretty much proven two things. That he has stolen documents and lied about it.
Yes.
That he is going to overturn Roe v. Wade at his first opportunity.
And doesn't believe in equal opportunity type things.
Yeah, he's a complete
racist.
Doesn't
believe in civil rights for like Hawaiians.
And the only reason that he was appointed, the only reason that he is the choice, as we talked about earlier today, is because he will do everything in his power to keep Trump from being indicted or subpoenaed or anything.
Presidential immunity of
exactly.
stuff. Exactly. And it's very, very...
What was the quote? We should not bother the presidency with frivolous all right. of that stuff. Yeah. yeah.
The
frivolous crimes that they've committed.
The issue comes down to that, of course, that's why he was picked. And of course, he knows that's why he was picked.
Yep.
So that's troubling. And that's the only reason that I have even the kernel of like a conspiracy theory about this. Like, I can't prove this and I'm not going to stand by it necessarily. But him becoming Supreme Court is one, Supreme Court justice is one of the most important things to Trump surviving all of this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And by extension, Alex surviving a lot of this stuff. Roger Stone surviving all of this stuff. So it makes some sense that the propaganda outlet that's completely beholden to Donald Trump and have mutual survival interest
yeah.
would then create a huge stunt in order to get a ton of media attention away from how poorly the hearings are going.
Right.
So I don't know if that's the case, but from a strategic viewpoint, I could see it kind of being.
It does make sense.
It sounds like Roger Stone.
But it doesn't make sense because...
He's a rat fucker.
Because Roger doesn't get yet that Trump is not going to help him.
I think he does.
You think so?
That's why he's doing all these GoFundMes and shit for his legal fees.
Yeah, but then why would you bother with Kavanaugh? Kavanaugh's there so Trump doesn't get hurt.
Right.
And Trump isn't going to pardon you.
I think...
Because he doesn't give a fuck.
I think that they still see that as the last hope for status quo. Because
right.
if Trump stays in, he'll end the Mueller investigation.
Oh, of course.
And if the Mueller investigation ends, then, I mean, Jerome Corsi was just subpoenaed the other day.
Yeah.
So the, like, all of this looking into Roger's connections and stuff like that is gonna go away too.
Well, I mean, as we all know, there's no way that they catch Roger with a crime. Roger would
bullshit.
Never commit a crime. Roger? Crime? Dan! How dare you insinuate that this, a fine upstanding gentleman.
I don't think it comes down to Roger believing Trump will get his back and pardon him or anything, although that may be the case. The truth is that if the investigation goes away, the possibility of them going to prison for the crimes being investigated goes
yeah.
away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah,
not,
once
not
Sessions
so, not
is
so
gone.
Much Alex, being so worried about that, but he's worried about it for Roger, who opens up the door to InfoWars business model over the last 3 years.
Right.
So.
Well, the whole plan is once Sessions is gone, Trump is going to find somebody who's going to end the Mueller investigation.
Almost.
That's the, yeah, there's no definitely. Other way of looking at it.
And if Kavanaugh's in, then you got all the votes you need to make it so you can't get in trouble for that.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Yep. Anyways, guys, it was nice having a republic. That was good stuff for a while.
And if you have people like Chris Kobach doing that, you know, all the election studies about
yeah,
like,
sure.
voting and stuff like
good
that.
Good work.
You have every reason to, you know, try and really cheat at
you
all
know
kinds
that,
of elections.
You know that guy who refused to recuse himself from his own recount? Isn't that weird that that guy would want to...
You got all sorts of indications of really undemocratic behavior going on that, you know, who knows if they are going to come to fruition. It would be very irresponsible of us to say, like, this is what's happening. But you got a lot of indications of real possible trouble ahead.
Well, unlike Alex, I do not believe it is a tie ball game.
Essentially,
I believe that the Nazis are on the cusp of taking over America, and it's really probably going to happen. Like,
yeah.
I would put it at an 85.
And we need money, and we don't talk about it nearly enough. So we're the anti-Alex.
We need money. We need supporters. We need you to spread the word. We need you to tweet about us. Nah, we're just fatalists. We're gonna lose.
I sell my blood to buy rice, and hey, we're gonna lose.
Yeah, exactly. That's our take on it.
So anyway, let's stop this bullshit. Get back to business. Alex doesn't believe he was being disruptive.
Of course not. Of course not.
And he compares himself to the people who were protesting the Kavanaugh hearings. And it's important because he does have a kernel of something. As a conspiracy in this clip, but I can explain it away very easily.
The swamp was absolutely horrified in D.C. They've had 11 hearings that
I
know
with annoyed.
Of, where they lie about yours truly and the First Amendment and then call for the banning of conservatives, nationalists, and patriots across the board.
How about Nazis?
So I went and spoke at the press conference. I went where the press goes to speak to the different senators. So I can face my accusers, and the corporate media spun it like I was being disruptive. Meanwhile, we have video and photos on Infowars.com of George Soros groups, known people that work for Soros, paying the disruptors cash in the parking lot, and then video and photos of the disruptors, which is well known. I caught a leftist Soros Bloomberg-funded group 17 years ago.
No, you didn't. You didn't know about him 17 years ago. We know that from listening to 2009. Alex,
we've proven that pretty extensively.
So the issue that I have is that I looked into this on Alex's little website.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they do have pictures of the people who were protesting the Kavanaugh hearing getting money from someone in a parking lot.
Well, there you go.
But
proof.
The issue is that the connections are super tenuous. The reality of the situation is that there are people who had money that they were giving to these people to pay their legal fees because they knew that these people were going to get in trouble for this. Sort of a support network type of thing.
Right.
You know, hey, sucks. We believe in what you believe in. We want to help you take care of the fees that you're incurring by your civil disobedience.
Yeah.
It's not a thing where they were getting thousands of dollars paid protester type shit.
Right.
It was a thing like that. Now, the guy who he's saying is Soros connected is some guy who works for an organization that at one point got some funds from Soros.
Sure.
Which
Great.
Is the weakest Proof. Tenuous yeah. connection of yep. like you can just dance on that ballroom floor all day long.
Yeah.
You know, this is a Soros group giving paid sure. protesters money, but the kernel of truth is there. Someone was getting money, but I think that's de rigueur. I think that's pretty normal in terms of like co-ops and activism. I think that the idea of like people helping out with people's legal fees, very, very normal.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those big things that the civil rights movement did. You remember when
Roger Stone is doing a GoFundMe for his legal fees? He's trying to get paid for doing
his
work.
Yeah, but not from Soros, Dan.
Not
from
in
you,
a parking
from
lot.
You, the viewers,
right?
Or listeners, or whomever.
Let's not look into how, if Trump has ever gotten money from.
Hey,
Soros.
Hey, hold
Let's
on
not do
now,
that ever.
Dan, hold on.
That. Don't look
How
into
that. How dare
you?
Because
it never
Dan,
happened.
Never happened.
Never happened.
What kind of crazy person would say that? Dan?
Don't look into that. Don't look into that. So.
Sleeper. He's a sleeper patriot.
Alex was being disruptive for sure. And he wasn't behaving in the way that journalists behave. He was being aggressive. He was not asking questions. He was bullying and badgering Marco Rubio. And again, no sympathy to Marco Rubio. But also, he touched him. Like, journalists don't do that.
He was being
he was
a
on coke.
Dick to a huge dick.
He was
Fuck him.
He was sweaty as fuck, too.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, I hate to critique people's appearances who aren't named Jerome Corsi. But Alex looked wet. He looked like he had just run, well, for Alex, 12 feet.
Well, he was playing in the U.S. Open a short while before that.
That
they
is
just
true.
don't aerate that building
he was,
too much.
He was against
Arthur
Federer.
Arthur Ashe is not well aerated, Dan. They need air conditioning.
I beat Serena Williams.
No chance.
So, this next clip, I'm going to say I think it's bullshit, but at the same time, I think there's a kernel of Alex having a fine point in it. So I'll give a preemptive meh. All right.
Meh.
So I show up.
Do you?
When I was in the front of the USA Today concerning Jack Dorsey making the personal decision not to ban me and Dorsey denying it, I'm the main topic of the hearings, quote, fake news.
Meh.
You just called yourself fake
and
news,
censorship.
Baby.
Censorship.
Quote.
And the media acts
quotes,
like I'm Dan. Weird even showing up. That's the level of their deception. Now, the big news, obviously, is Trump says snakes are everywhere.
So I love
snakes are everywhere.
I mean, he's talking metaphorical, but I love the image that is in your head. Everywhere there's snakes.
Snakes are
so
everywhere.
So many snakes. Have you ever been to the White House? Full of snakes.
Get these motherfucking snakes off the White House motherfucking lawn, Dan.
So the point that I think is fair is that Alex is like, everyone's acting like it's weird that I was there. I do think that's kind of fair, like, of a criticism. It does make sense that he would go.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense that he would go.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, I think it's dumb and obviously a publicity stunt, and the way he behaved is unbecoming of an adult. But at the same time, I do get, like, hey, they're talking about stuff that I yell about all the time. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, it makes
fine.
It makes perfect. Just like him being at the inauguration. Of course, he's gonna fucking be there.
Yeah. Now the part that
if you had asked us before, like I didn't even really pay attention to when this hearing was going to happen. But if you'd asked me beforehand, would Alex be there? I'd be like,
you bet.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't he?
Absolutely. So the part that's bullshit about it, though.
What's that part?
There's a part where it's like, these hearings are mostly about me. They're not.
No, I don't think anybody talked about him at all.
I think maybe he might have come up.
Possibly.
Maybe after Laura Loomer screamed in court.
I think it was.
I guess it's not court, in the hearing.
It was really interesting for me to listen to those hearings and have them be like, all the Republicans, after he explains algorithms, they're all like, I don't know what algorithms are.
Shit.
And then somehow all of them were like, hey, you know how people are harassing women? And you're like, whoa, what are you guys doing? You do not give a shit about women at all. No. What is going on right now?
Nice try, Dicks.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Do better.
Yeah.
So, now we get into a little bit of a portion of the show where Alex is a bit, super weird. He's laying some groundwork for a narrative that he hopes is going to blossom like, some sort of wonderful tulip at dawn.
Okay.
But he never really...
I was gonna go with death lily, but okay.
He never gets to what exactly he wants to say. He's gonna tease this throughout most of the show. But then he just sort of falls off in the middle of this. The train goes off the rails.
I had stuff happen in D.C., and this is the big takeaway.
What's the big takeaway?
That is directly out of a spy novel.
Hmm?
And I'm talking to lawyers, a bunch of other people, about what I'm going to do. It'll either be today or tomorrow I talk about it for my own safety, but it is next level. But Mueller is planning to try to frame me, indict me, and then I believe kill me ahead of them being able to actually have their kangaroo trial. That's their plan. They've already tried to kill Stone twice, so this is big league, folks. It doesn't get any more big league than this. And when they saw that they're totally blind politically, that I could show up anywhere I want and take over.
Ooh,
when they
you
saw
don't know
how they've taken
coming.
Me and built me into Godzilla to frighten the left with, that now when I show up, I am Godzilla.
Aha.
Hammer's about to fall, my friend.
Interesting him comparing himself to Godzilla, because in many ways I think that's an apt analogy. Godzilla originally was a cautionary tale.
Do you mean the result of overuse of nuclear weapons and their resulting destruction of Japan that has altered and changed every part of Japanese pop culture ever since then?
Uh-huh. And further, just
so
sort of like
he's kind of like a
metaphor for like the wrong parts of America.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Like Godzilla is sort of a living embodiment of the crushing disaster that happens to the rest of the world when America is left unchecked.
Almost
Alex
like,
is kind of exactly like that.
Almost like the nuclear fallout of giving these people so much attention and power creates a monster that we have no control over that then rampantly destroys everything in its path.
And by we, it's not like I want to control Alex. I don't think any individual should, but society should on some level.
Well,
like
we
need to go back to a time. Like I'm not saying shut down right or anything like that.
I am.
I know. But what I am saying is we need to get to a point where like we just have no time for arguments that we've already had in the past and society has decided are distasteful. We have to get to the point where it's not like just. We need to, I hate to say this because I'm a guy who has a dirty fucking room. I can barely afford to pay my bills.
All right.
But everyone needs to grow the fuck up.
Right.
Like that's, we need to get to that point in society because until we do, we're going to be living in this like, Alex is Godzilla and he's right.
Well, because
he can show up anywhere and cause a huge disturbance.
Right. But that's what what I'm saying is that I think part of this goes back to our 2009 investigation. Whenever the Koch brothers created the Tea Party whole cloth.
Now that's another Godzilla.
They thought that they were going to be able to control this movement and then tamp it down whenever they were able to get their fucking tax cuts and deregulation and everything. And then all of a sudden, it's gone wild and the Koch brothers still don't even understand that it is their fault that Trump is there. And they're like, no, we're against Trump. You're fucking stupid.
And now they're probably...
You rich motherfucking assholes. Die.
But like, I don't know. Alex's whole thing is where he's talking about like, I'm living in a spy movie. What happened to me when I was in DC?
I fucked an assassin.
He does sort of spell out what happened, but he doesn't get into specifics, and he's threatening to spill the beans about but he basically, I think someone accused him of being a Russian agent, maybe. But that's not...
Boo.
That's not new.
Boring.
That's a narrative that he's used so many times. And we have a clip of him basically admitting to being debriefed by Russian intelligence. So, like, I don't get it. Like,
he's not a Russian agent. He's a patsy. Come on, guys.
Right.
He's a fucking idiot.
So in this next clip, Alex comes back from break, and he does what I would describe as a decent... but not good pro wrestling promo about the midterms coming up.
Here we go.
Also, he can't stop playing the Final Countdown.
It's a great song.
Which is actually a really interesting further wrinkle to this idea that he's going back to his roots and having to be forced back to his past. Because his original show, when he was on radio way back in the day, was called The Final Edition. Because the premise of it was, this might be the last time they allow me on air.
Nice.
Which was
that's actually a pretty fun premise
for him back then.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
So now he's having to play the Final Countdown like two or three times every episode to ram this home.
I'm not gonna lie to you. When I was in high school, I was a drummer in the pep band. We fucking rocked out to the Final Countdown. I used to play that like a goddamn
fun.
Have you listened to the drums on that track?
Yeah.
You haven't listened to me do it, buddy.
Yeah, fine.
Because I fucking go wild.
I'm more into the synth.
I don't even know if anybody else was playing during that song because I went wild.
So it is fun though because on this specific instance. This is the Final Edition. Much like our live show in Austin, we went over the last time he was broadcast on KJFK.
This is the last time he's broadcast on Twitter.
KLBJ? Yeah,
KLBJ.
KJFK was the old station that he was on.
And that was the one that killed JFK, of
course. KLBJ came in and killed KJFK. Put him out of business.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, in the same way that, like, this episode is kind of an analog to that, because unknowingly, this is the last time he's going to be able to ever broadcast on Periscope.
Yeah.
So, it is fun. This is the Final Countdown, Alex.
And
you're finally appropriate in playing this song.
Bye-bye, bitch!
Now only 61 days to the most important election in world history. And I look at Trump, that bull, that liar. Ugh. Surrounded by all the hyenas and all the liars and all the scum like Hillary Clinton and Robert Mueller, dishonorable, evil, wicked people with so many crimes, so many wars, so many child kidnapping rings, so much narcotics trafficking under their belt, and you see Trump out there with all his morals and all his strength. In fact, like a North Star to bring this country back, and they put out all these lies and all this propaganda to try to turn you against him as they push for the 25th Amendment to be implemented to remove him now before the midterms, because Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed. And there's going to be a huge red wave despite the election fraud and all the people voting in the names of dead people. And they're now in full panic mode.
That red wave is going to be women's blood on the streets who die trying to get illegal abortions.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's not like every conservative policy will wind up getting women killed. Dan, that's a crazy thing to think. To just go down the line of conservative policies and think, holy cow, every single one of these will get more women killed. That would be ridiculous.
That
an entire party can't be based entirely upon fucking hurting and killing women, Dan. That would never fly.
Well, it's also immigrants and minorities. That them too. That also their blood will also be a part of the red wave that Alex is envisioning.
Of course,
that's dark as hell, and I'm sorry I took us there. But I mean, it gets you charged a little bit, you know, like that Final Countdown. The drums kick in.
I'm going to tell you, this is where I switched it up, man. This is when you use the bell on the ride cymbal. You do a syncopated rhythm with a bunch of 16th notes. You add in a little bit of a drum roll on your left hand. It's fucking great stuff.
To quote Young Jeezy, produced by Manny Fresh, I love it.
There you go.
I'm going to ride till I die.
All right.
Man, everyone tells me to get a job. I already got a job. That's staying alive. Love Young Jeezy. Anyway.
Young Jeezy's better than Manny Fresh, I'll tell you.
All those things he was talking about are all hot bullshit.
Yeah.
But there's a weird sort of wrestling metaphor here. All of those things that he said in that last one, like, minute long clip were all the things that he's built to throughout the last, year, 6 months, certainly ramping a lot of some of the particular things up over the last couple months. Which he, what he's doing, he's building towards the midterms, which is essentially his pay-per-view. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So all of this are like, they're the feuds between, between wrestlers.
Right.
Like each one, like dead people voting, that's one of the feuds that he's built up. He's
yeah.
sold it to his audience, and the payoff is going to be whenever he claims that that had a factor in the midterms.
Which, funny enough, a, Republican politician was caught signing up dead people to vote for,
Look into that.
No, don't look into it.
That was also, by the way, me trying way too hard to make a wrestling analogy, and I'd like to apologize for it. So,
you're okay, Dan.
He claimed in that last clip that, Robert Mueller is a criminal.
Yep.
Got a lot of crimes in his past.
Got some crimes up there.
And I don't want to not have that conversation, but I'd like to have it on better terms than, Alex saying this about him.
And it shows that they are going for broke. They are mad dog. I mean, that guy on screen, if you're a TV viewer, delivered uranium to the Russians for Hillary to do uranium transfers of 25% of our uranium. And then he tells us that Trump's a Russian agent.
I understand the barking, but also what he's doing there is he's conflating two of his narratives, two of his propaganda narratives. And it's like, hey, man, even a good conspiracy theorist needs to know that these aren't connected.
Yeah.
Robert Mueller brought uranium to Russian authorities on the request of both governments. It was uranium that was confiscated from people who got caught with it.
Yep.
And it was a a mutual investigation on the Russian intelligence and the United States intelligence's behalf. So he
it was a diplomatic agreement to do the best
and work together,
not fucking around. Yeah,
in a very serious circumstance.
Yeah,
if you find somebody who has uranium. It's very relevant. So the idea that he went and was on a tarmac with uranium—that's the context of it. He was in the context and the auspices of a very legitimate international investigation. The uranium one thing we talked about ad nauseum with Clinton, that's bullshit, but it's not even related to this. So when he's bringing in, like, he went there with the uranium on the tarmac for Clinton to give the 25% of the uranium to the Russians, like, this isn't, those are, you gotta separate them. Quote The Offspring. Keep them separated. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to do better. Even if your goal is to be a propagandist and a conspiracy theorist, that's not good enough.
No,
that's
shitty. He might as well toss in literally every uranium narrative that he's got and say that it was all dumb. Like if you just
yellow
put,
cake.
Yeah, if you just start saying that he was near uranium one time, so now everything that I've ever said about being near uranium is involving him.
Right.
You're undercutting your own conspiracy theory in a way that other conspiracy theorists would be like, "Dude, you're making us look bad."
It's clunky. It's real, real clunky.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think that...
You know who killed JFK?
Uranium.
9/11. That's who did it.
And who also worked in the government at the time of 9/11?
Eric Holder?
Bob Mueller.
Oh, no.
And Eric Holder, probably, in some capacity. You know what I learned the other day? I learned that Jim Comey was the prosecutor in the case against Martha Stewart.
Really?
I don't know if that's true.
That can't possibly be true. He's never worked as a lawyer.
Yes, he does.
Has he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. As a prosecutor?
Yeah.
As a state prosecutor?
Yeah.
For New York?
Yeah, let me look this up.
All right. Why would you say that?
Because I read it.
Would you say that ever if that wasn't true? That's the most ridiculous conspiracy theory I've ever heard.
I think it is true.
I mean, if it's not true.
I read it in, so I found Bob Chapman.
Is that why Trump fired him?
I found Bob Chapman's newsletter, and I've been reading over them, and I've learned a lot of very interesting things about his feelings about different races.
Not great for everybody who's non-white, I'll tell you that.
It is true.
James Comey
prosecuted Martha Stewart back in the day.
So he was the lead prosecutor.
The federal prosecutor, yeah.
He's the lead prosecutor in, well then, you know what? I'm kind of glad he got fired.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, How dare you? She did a little bit of insider trading. Is that a crime?
Leave her alone.
Oh wait, no, it is a crime.
He also, Bob Chapman is like, this is bullshit. We predict that she's gonna get off. And then like a couple months later, obstruction of justice. Yeah. Ka-chunk. Yeah, it is interesting, though, that Jim Comey was the prosecutor on that. It's very wild.
That's such a weird, Like in 10 years, whenever our history books are burned, and then in 100 years, whenever the fish people rewrite our history books, it's going to be a nice little factoid that the guy who Trump legitimately obstructed justice with
right.
was also the one who prosecuted Martha Stewart. Isn't
for
that a
obstruction
fun little fact?
Of justice.
Yeah, like in a textbook, they have those like, here's the main story, and then there's that tiny little box with like a did you know? That's fun. That's a fun fact.
It is. It is fun. Also fun, in that same newsletter, Bob Chapman is defending Roy Moore about his crusade to keep the Ten Commandments up at the
kill him! Yeah, kill him!
It's very weird to hear these very current players in different contexts in his newsletter.
How is Joe Arpaio not dead yet?
I don't know. But he did lose that race, which is great.
He didn't lose the white race, I'll tell you that right now.
Get him.
He seemed to win that.
So, I told you earlier that Alex, when he was talking about this thing that happened to him in DC, I tilted my cards a little bit too early because I forgot that there's this clip of him sort of describing it. This isn't going to make it any clearer.
Okay.
They've had 11 hearings that I know of. I'm always finding new ones in the last year and a half saying I'm a Russian agent. I'm a racist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm fake news.
You bet.
That I say nobody died at Parkland in Florida. Never said that.
Eh.
You know, they can, out of context, twist that on the Sandy Hook.
Nope.
So what are they going to do? They're going to frame
Kick
me
you
for
off
being
Twitter?
A Russian. And that's what they're planning to do. 100% confirmed. They tried to do it to me yesterday. And I was just poleaxed.
Poleaxed?
I mean, I couldn't believe the nature
Here's
of it.
There's a word a day calendar.
And the folks that did this, they don't think I'm not going to go public? I mean, oh yeah, let that fuse be lit. Psst, politically. You don't know when that's going to go sky high, do you?
Psst, politically.
Probably in the next 3 hours.
Psst. Twitterly.
So, like I said, I don't know how this is all going to end, but you want to fight, you better believe you got one.
All right, Alex.
Yeah.
This is so lame.
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I bet.
Poleaxed. That is somehow, I know it's not, but at the same time, my first thought is like, do you also hate Polish people? Are you calling them Poleaxed?
You know, they have
Poleaxed.
Polacked. They have some good inventions.
Yeah.
Those Polish
the
people.
The Poleaxed? That was theirs.
I'm looking this up here. Poleax.
You don't know what a poleax is?
Do you?
Yeah. It's a very long.
Verb.
Oh. It just means that he got stabbed with a poleax.
Yep, that is it.
Yeah. What do you mean? What else would it be?
I kind of thought that it might be some sort of like archaic language for like I was flummoxed or
no,
something like that.
No.
Yeah, it means to be
well,
hit with a poleaxe.
As you well know, to be flummoxed is to experience flummox
or to be hit with a flum.
Exactly. A flum axe, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you think poleaxed?
I thought it had, you know, the word parallax came into my mind. I thought it was not connected word, but I was like,
right.
That sounds like it could be some sort of old time word that no one uses anymore. Like,
no, I get that.
Like nonplussed or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. You know, like, no, I get that.
There maybe is some sort of like word that he knows that no one else uses.
Right.
Because he has a lot of those in his catalog.
That's true.
In the same way.
In his calendar, more like.
Yeah. In the same way that like Lovecraft always uses Eldritch.
Yeah. Eldritch is a great word though.
Right. But I felt like Alex might have that, like, just pulled out Polax.
Anybody who's ever played D&D knows well what Eldritch means, Dan.
Right. But Lovecraft used it too much. We can all agree
Not
on
true.
That.
Not true.
Disagree. Anyway, that aside, I would say that this idea that someone came up to him and was like, hey, I'm going to let loose that you're a Russian agent or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's a big story.
He's going to let loose with an Eldritch Polax.
Right, right. I don't think that that's an, like, I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe his telling of this. And then second, I don't believe his version of, like, I'm going to reveal something about someone accusing me of being a Russian agent.
Right.
Because he's
what
already yelled about that all the time. Like we said already on the same episode, he's yelled about that forever. People accuse me of being a Russian agent all the time, bro.
Yeah.
It's very much one of his, main narratives, so.
What could you reveal about
what
somebody?
We have already revealed.
I know.
The interview that he did on RT where he got tricked into talking to Russian intelligence.
No,
that's something
to
reveal.
I mean about a person who is saying that you're a Russian agent.
Oh, I
like
don't know.
That they're a Russian agent?
Maybe. Maybe. Or some sort of like blackmail or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that comes to mind possibly, but I don't think anyone in any legitimate position would do that.
Like, yeah, why would you blackmail
Alex?
He's
a really bad blackmail target.
Yeah.
He's so oppositional defiant. He's so narcissistic and he can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
You make any kind of threat against him, he's just going to yell about it.
This guy thinks he's going to blackmail me by saying that I fucked 3 women during the time that I've been married to my wife while she's pregnant. You think that bothers me?
You guys
She knows.
You guys don't know we have an understanding.
Didn't you realize that I called Trump a bull? Do you know what that means in the swinger community? I watch him fuck my wife. He's a bull! That's what I do!
Cuck.
He is a cuck.
So, oh man.
You all right?
Down the wrong pipe.
You're right, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
That wasn't even the cheap champagne. That was, the beer.
No, the issue was I took a small drink right about when you started on your rant, and I got a little laugh in my throat. You shouldn't make me
well,
laugh.
Well, that's good. I enjoy my still diminished capability to make you laugh.
Yeah. Do strongly diminished. So, I already mentioned that it's my standing position, and I'm not just taking Twitter at its word. I watched the entire video of his attack on Oliver Darcy,
which is what it must be classified as.
I think it was very hard to watch. You know, like just first of all because of the length, 10 minutes is too long, and then second because he had nowhere to go with it, so he just kept insulting his appearance and kept being like a little baby, like
Did
a little titty baby.
Did he call him cupcake too?
No, because he's not a woman.
Yeah.
So it was tough, and I do believe that that's one of the reasons he's in trouble now. Now, I don't think this next clip is going to make things better, because this is the next day after he's already back in the safe home of Austin in his studio.
And they have total disdain for you and your family. It's like the Oliver Darcy guy, who has some of the most evil, but not evil in a powerful way, like the most pathetic, dishonest eyes. They just ooze betrayal and weakness and just a very effeminate type of evil. But it's not effeminate. It has that twistedness when it's in a man's eyes.
What?
And just someone totally turned over to deception, going, I never said take you off. No one ever took you off. You've not been taken off anything. Just that enjoyment. Like Marco Rubio said, you don't exist. I know who you are. As if denying I exist gives him some power. That's what they do.
Alex, you might be insane. Have you considered that?
Only other person that looks more evil is Brian Stelter. And then you ask, why do they hire these guys? Because that's who they are. The executives like it.
So you can already, I mean, you responded almost entirely accurately. Like, hey, maybe you're nuts. And the reason that you should have that response is that, like, when he talks about his interaction with Marco Rubio, all he wants to talk about is how, like, he said he didn't know who I am. He's trying to pretend I don't exist.
Yeah.
It's all this, like, insecurity that he's manifesting and projecting into the world. Whereas, like, I think that Marco Rubio probably does know who Alex Jones is, might not have recognized him.
Right.
And the way Alex Jones was acting certainly deserved a, who are you? That's absolutely a deserved response.
Right.
Alex Jones interpreted it as an unpersoning of himself. Like, I don't exist. Like, I don't exist to you. You think that you can just make me not exist by not knowing who I am?
Well,
like, no, Alex, you're misinterpreting the way people interact.
But that's kind of, I believe him. That's why I think he's insane, because I believe
Don't worry about it. He's insane.
No. I mean, I believe that he believes that those guys said those things.
Yeah.
I believe that he heard those things in what they said, even though they didn't say it. Like, he is...
He's a person who
He's
has,
got auditory hallucinations.
No, I don't think it's that. I think that he has no ability to differentiate between subjective and objective experiences. You know, like, there's a lot of the times I feel slighted by people.
Uh-huh.
I had to wrestle with this a whole bunch when I was doing stand-up. Like, back in the years I did stand-up, I thought people didn't like me because they weren't booking me.
Right.
Or because they didn't treat me the way I would like people to treat me.
Right.
And it took a while in the being a part of this world for me to recognize, like, they are just doing their own thing. They're responding to me exactly how they should.
Right.
They didn't book me because I didn't ask to get booked. I'm not on their radar because I don't hang out with them.
Yeah.
It makes total sense, but I'm projecting my subjective experience and pretending it's an objective experience. So when Alex has this run-in with Marco Rubio, his subjective experience of it is he's trying to pretend I don't exist and all this shit. And the reality is the objective experience is Marco's just trying to do his interview. And Alex is bullying and trying to make it about himself.
Yeah.
And Marco Rubio is trying to bring it back to stand up, treat it like a heckler. And he's not good at dealing with hecklers.
No.
So he lets Alex Jones kind of win and get his, anti-Steve Hofstetter clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like my dad came to the show. All right, guys, let's continue this interview.
That might have been better.
That would have been hilarious.
Oh, my God.
If he just turned into a hack comedian for 2 seconds, that would have been great.
I mean, if it was me, first of all, I wouldn't be Marco Rubio. But secondly, if I was in that situation, I mean, the first thing, I'm a very strong supporter of this. Like, you need, if Alex Jones comes in and fucks with you, like, let's say we ever have a live show or anything like that, you have to be welcoming to him because that's the worst thing that you can possibly do to him. He can't handle the idea of people actually accepting him.
Yeah.
Especially people who he wants to attack. So you accept him. You just be like, yay, hey, how's it going? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That throws him off his game. So that's your first strategy.
My strategy. Continue.
Strategy is whenever he brings up something that you maybe don't know about or anything like that, but, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Get him to talk more about the headlines that he knows, and eventually you'll get to the point where he sounds like a fucking idiot.
Let him hang himself.
Thirdly, if that doesn't work, go to the fucking ways to put him on the defensive, which are super simple. There's a ton of things that we found over the course of doing this podcast that I wish everyone knew about that you could just throw at him. Things like, hey, Alex, when you were 6, did your mom throw you off her knee and say that you don't get love anymore? Could you talk more about that?
That would be a more fun version of stand-up if you thoroughly researched everyone who heckled you.
Well, because you could be, you could present the face of empathy and be like, that sounds really awful. How did you experience that? And he would have no idea how to deal with that.
Tell me about you, Alex. Are you okay? Do you feel comfortable with your life?
Right. And I think that those are the ways you could deal with him. But I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know where we jumped off onto this road, but let's get back on track.
Okay.
My bigger point is that, I don't know what my bigger point is.
I've never been a fan of the comedian destroys heckler videos. Like
my
dream has always been to have a video where it's like comedian comes to terms with heckler and they both leave as friends.
That was always my strategy.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I even, like, I put up with so much from hecklers that no one should. Like, I don't know how to tell this story without using horrible language. I might not want to tell this story.
Okay.
I'll try.
Okay.
So I got on stage one time. I don't know if I've told you this story, but the audience certainly doesn't know it.
Yeah,
not. I got on stage, I was, I don't know, maybe featuring on some terrible bar show.
You were a baby comic.
No, I was great.
You were well established at this point.
Fairly established. No one really in my world, except
for, you were considered an unstoppable comedic force at the time.
I was on the come. I was one of those on the rise kind of. That's an expression.
So Trump was your bull,
right? So I'm brought on stage. Everyone has had a bad set up till this point.
Yeah,
room is not doing so great. I get on stage and this guy just says throws a. You're an F, the gay slur.
Yes.
I hadn't said anything.
Right.
On stage.
Good start.
I just got on stage. This guy had not yelled at anybody else. So now I'm completely confused.
Interesting.
And I had a big beard and he's like, are you the lead singer of Mastodon? I'm like,
that's a weirdly specific heckle.
I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'm not, but I got some, I'm gonna tell some jokes up here if you want to hear them. And he's like, you're an F. He does it again. I'm like, all right. So at that point, I'm like, everything's over. This is now the show. I'm just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, how are you doing? Like, because I'm like, I gotta defuse this. It's not
there's no way to escape
shit.
It. Yeah.
So I'm like, how are you doing? And the guy's like, hey, you're an F. You want to see my dick? And without missing a beat, I say, yes, absolutely. I think everyone in this bar would love to see your dick. Because I thought maybe that would be like, ah, shit, he called my bluff.
Yeah.
Guy pulls his dick out.
What?
He stands up, starts doing the helicopter with his dick at me.
All right.
And so I'm like, sir, that is, I give your dick a C. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what I said.
Yeah.
It was something that was like not a super burn, but at the same time, not a compliment. And then everything got kind of hazy because the bartender came out and like sort of grabbed him and threw him out of the bar.
Oh yeah, because he committed a crime.
But I got so bummed.
Because he's now on the sex offender registry.
I got so bummed out because I was like, well, I mean, where do I go from here? My jokes? No. The guy just pulled his fucking dick out and did the helicopter move in the middle of this bar.
Yeah.
What was going to happen? He was probably going to get on stage with his dick out and then he'd get arrested.
That would have been fun.
We could have at least had fun with that.
We could have had fun with that.
Yeah. So that's what I wish Marco Rubio would have done.
Hey, Alex, I want to see your dick.
I mean, that is the best, maybe not the best way, but that's the best way.
That would have been a good way to deal with
it. It's a good way to deal with an abrasive heckler. Cause like, what are you going to do?
They're going to do it. At the very least would have been a more fun headline. Marco Rubio wants to see Alex Jones's dick.
Well, Alex Jones is the metaphorical guy who's pulling out his dick. He's an aggressive heckler in that situation.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is kind of cede the floor to them and work with it from there. The idea of like, you know, who are you is fine.
Right.
If you don't have chops, but it's not going to get you where you want
to
go.
If you are a comedian listening to this, don't take our advice. We're not successful.
Nope.
Maybe try doing one of those comedian.
I quit 2 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe try doing one of those comedian destroys heckler videos. Those seem to be popular.
So in this next clip.
Cause he's a fucking lunatic.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex talks a little bit about Donald Trump.
Right.
And he says something that is absolutely not true.
I let him fuck my wife in front of me.
Fortune favors the bold, and the fortune I seek is liberty from my family and your family.
That's the song, right?
I am so honored to stand with President Trump.
You should.
The stamina, the energy, how smart he is.
Gross.
And then you read the news, and it's he's weak, he's stupid, he's racist, he's bad.
He is all of those things.
He hates Southerners.
I don't know.
But no tapes of any of it. All complete garbage.
All right. I mean, the Southerners part is just based on that book that's coming out.
By Woodward.
Which, I mean, he's, what we'd call credible. Sort of as a career.
He's probably got some benefit of the doubt coming to him.
Yeah.
I would say just at least a little bit.
He's one of those people who hasn't really destroyed their own reputation like Cy Hirsch has.
Right.
Alex seems to love him.
He's got a few black marks on his reputation, but the body of work suggests that he should be given a gold star for credibility.
And I'm not saying that the things that he's reporting are actually true. I have no fucking idea. But
probably.
It does sound kind of like the guy I know in Trump.
Right.
You know? And all that other stuff.
And the guys surrounding Trump.
All that other stuff, like, that he's dumb and a racist, like, we can prove that.
Oh, yeah, no,
like,
that's
that part,
not hard.
You don't need the new stuff to prove
hard.
That.
Nah.
I mean, you can just go back to his Central Park 5 comments, like, oh, you're a racist. Yeah. And then you can just listen to him talk, you're like, oh, you're dumb. Oh, this is very, very dumb.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
or, like, the criminal case against him, obstructing justice should just be, like, a cardboard cutout of his tweets.
But,
like, oh, yeah, no, he did that.
But Jordan, his stamina. His stamina.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I would give him credit for stamina.
I don't care.
No, of course not. Go fuck himself and die. But you know what? Anybody who can wake up at 4 a.m. and go to bed at like 1.
Old people have weird schedules. They have they have weird circadian rhythms.
He should die of all kinds of diseases that are fucked directly into his face by a biker, but that's
fine.
And his
cholesterol.
Yeah.
But like, the thing is like, when you are coming up with like, this guy's stamina is off the charts, that's like saying he's a good guy.
Is
he funny? He's a good guy.
No. He killed 8 people, but let me tell you something. He won the Boston Marathon. He really did.
He's really nice.
Can't argue with that.
Really nice.
Oh, he's such a good guy to me.
That's the equivalent when you're like, you're digging so deep to be like, that stamina.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about his stamina.
That's what I want in a president, Dan.
Right.
Stamina.
Staying power.
Yeah.
Ability to stay on a treadmill.
I don't believe that at all. I want him to be able to fuck my wife for a while,
Dan. A bull.
I need a bull, Dan.
So, Jordan, in this next clip, Alex explains why he's the target of the globalists. And I'd say, I mean, he's got it nailed.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's right.
Okay.
Hollywood elite moving to New Zealand. Infowars.com.
Great.
Or James Cameron moves to New Zealand to avoid
Infowars.net.
Bioweapon release. That's the real reason. See, there's a leftist global plan that once they collapse the third world and scare the first world enough, they're going to let in enough to create political division.
Sure.
About 100 million in Europe, 100 million in the U.S. Then they're going to build giant walls. Trump isn't part of this. But
he likes walls.
He wants to build a wall.
They're going
to
build the walls later.
What?
Bring in total biometric
control.
So
we got to build the wall first?
To counter the collapsing third world. And then they're going to release a bioweapon that's going to wipe out the first round, 2 or 3 billion people.
First round.
And then once they get a real hyper police state in after that, then they'll deliver the true super weapons.
Sure.
And then
when we get to the round of 16,
retire to their labyrinthine palaces.
That's the semifinals.
While we kill each other. But they've got to have automated military forces and drone forces to carry out suppression and mop ups for some computer models they've got that human directed forces. And by that, people directed for a pro-human future.
Sure.
Would be able to basically understand
the
plan
pack?
Even once it was launched, and then run a countervailing system that would then remove
what?
The planetary cleansing operation
Fuck
that
off.
They are preparing. So the real reason I'm verboten is because there is a planetary cleansing operation prepared to reduce world population by 99%.
Hey, Alex, it's getting late. I want to go to bed. Can you leave? I know you're real comfortable on that couch, but man, that feels a lot like bad conversations I've had in the past.
I really don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I don't even know what his words mean in the context that he'd be countervailing. What are you talking about?
Well, that's like,
you're fucking stupid.
There's one side that's pushing this way. You need a countervailing force in order to push back in the other way.
Sure.
That's what that means.
Sure.
Walk me through what you don't understand. I'd love to clear this up for you because he makes
all of
total
it.
Sense.
All of it, man. Start from the beginning.
James Cameron.
that's where we jump off right there. That's where I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron leads to 99% of the world's population being destroyed.
Yeah, it's quick A to B to C.
What's that leave? 7 million, 70 million people?
I'm not sure exactly on the math, but I will.
Still a lot.
But it's not nearly enough for like a world to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's plenty.
So if that were to be the case, then every elite.
Yeah.
Who survives.
Right.
Would then need a pilot.
Yep.
Or they'd have to be pilots themselves.
Yeah. Also, they all have to be pilots.
Also, they'd need ways to find food.
Not gonna lie to you, if I were rich, I think I would become a pilot. That sounds fucking dope.
You know what the real issue is?
What?
The world that Alex Jones, pretends that the globalists want is so worse for the globalists than the current state of affairs.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The idea of how difficult it would be to just eat and for the globalists in that scenario.
Right.
Because they could hoard a ton of food, but then what happens when that food runs out?
Well, Jim Baker
then
is there to fill the hole.
Globalists aren't eating that shit. It's garbage.
The world we live in now let Jeff Bezos gain $150 billion, whatever fucking amount, whatever unreal amount of money he has. Why would he want the world to be different?
Right.
That's insane.
All of this works incredibly well.
What he's describing is what climate change is going to do to humanity.
That's interesting.
He's literally just, his version of what the globalists want to do is actually what the globalists are doing that is going to happen because everyone is ignoring the reality of climate change. It's bananas.
Yeah, there may be something to
We're
that.
Fucked.
Yep.
I don't even know why we're worried about fascism in America. I would be fine with fascism in America if it actually addressed climate change, because then we would
at least
have a fucking time to solve the fucking issue.
You better not be okay.
Of course I'm not okay with it, but if it came to it, right? If we were going to write a history book, if Trump completely took over the United States and turned it into a fascist fucking state.
You're going back to something I think you said on episode three.
But then he fucking went hog wild and solved climate change. At least 100 years from now, we would be able to solve, we'd be able to stop fascism, and he would be remembered as a weird ass fucking monster hero. It'd be crazy.
Right.
He's not gonna do it. He's only going to succeed in creating fascism, which after climate change fucking destroys all of the world's population by forcing so many people to move out of their goddamn homes, creating an even larger refugee crisis, which will then of course lead to more fucking, Nazi fascist rising or whatever. It's gonna be fucked!
I kind of look at it the opposite way, and maybe it's just because we're a glass half full, glass half empty kind of team.
We're mostly a glass half full.
We're Goofus and Gallant.
You know me. Wait. I'm Goofus, aren't I?
No, you're Gallant.
No, you know I'm Goofus.
We're kind of both.
How dare you?
But I kind of look at it with sort of a positive way that, like, at this point, I think climate change is probably inevitable, and we should work towards ways to mitigate the damage. But I honestly think that there's a decent chance that it might save us.
Like, climate change?
Well, a lot of people are going to die, definitely, and that's not good. But we're not going to go extinct. You know, I don't know.
And
the rising tide of right-wing fascism that we see around the world and nationalistic, real awful, very scary stuff going on.
No, it's fine.
But a lot of that stuff I think will be nipped in the bud by the global emergency that comes from what climate change brings. There's a decent possibility that you see it as like that will exacerbate the troubles of the Nazis. I think that there's a decent chance that humanity will stand up and say, like, enough is enough. People are struggling. Let's fucking get to business.
That's the manufactured alien invasion is going to bring humanity together of climate change.
But it's not manufactured.
No, I know. I'm just saying that it's
carbon taxes.
Like anytime we talk about how people ultimately help each other in any kind of crisis.
Right. I'm banking on a little bit of that in my argument.
And I know in that argument it makes a lot of sense, but when you start seeing large populations move, we all go fucking ape shit. And
we don't. You and
no,
I don't.
No, of course. Of course
there's
we
a lot
don't
of people
go ape
like
shit.
Us that don't.
Yeah, but they didn't just perform a coup and control all three facets of American government.
Right, right. But a lot of that...
Which we should. We should really... How have we not fucking just started the leeching? Is that the way I would put it without overtones?
I don't know what you're trying to express.
I'm just saying that maybe one of the ways to solve the disease of Nazis is with a little bloodletting and maybe get a little bit out of it. That's all I'm saying.
You're dangerously close to territory we can't abide by.
I would never say anything like that.
Anyway.
Politically.
Politically.
I say it in reality.
I'd like to just say also that my argument about climate change is probably wrong
you know what? But
blue sky thinking.
It is
know?
Blue sky thinking, and it may be like any time we've seen.
It's definitely how I would respond to things, but
of course.
Again, I'm not everybody. But there are
right.
enough people who have empathy that guides them, I think.
I know, but I just feel like empathy is what makes us lose.
Yep. Anyway. This is a clip that I considered sending to Alex's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of this show here on this Thursday episode, after he had gone to Washington, D.C.
We should send it to Martha Stewart.
He says something really, really fucked up about how he interacts with his kids.
Oh, no, that's not good.
And I don't, you know, it's not my business. I'm not going to send it to her. But if anyone wants to let her know...
You know how our wonderful, beautiful listeners would never do that.
She deserves to know this, I guess, but she probably already knows.
You get to the point where you got to tell your kids, like I took them to school this morning. Someday your daddy's not going to be here. You just need to be good people and be strong and stick up for each other. Do what's right.
Okay, Dad.
But when you come to that point,
you got to pick me up at 3:30.
You're already starting to say bye to your kids. You know how close we are to midnight, folks. But you know what? It makes me want to do it even more because we're facing true, unadulterated, pure evil.
Is that why you didn't make us a sack lunch?
He's terrorizing his kids with his
twisted worldview. Yeah.
The idea that he's dropping them off at school and, like, insinuating that he's going to die.
Hey, kids. Listen, I hope you have a good day at school. I know your math teacher has been riding you pretty hard lately, but that's really immaterial compared to the fact that you're about to lose your father.
The globalists are gonna murder
going
your dad.
To murder me.
Yeah, Robert Mueller is going to murder me.
Anyways, the next time your math teacher is like, oh, you didn't do well on this test, just be like, Robert Mueller is going to murder my dad!
Should probably get you a pass.
Isn't that the plot of a movie?
That's a really, really insane thing.
Yeah, that's probably not
It's insane, the idea that he's saying that to his kids, and it's insane that he's saying it on air, as if it somehow gives him a boost of, like, this shit's real.
Look at how great I am.
Don't
I tell my kids that I'm going to die every day.
Or I at least heavily imply it to the point where it's going to fuck with them for the rest of their lives.
Nah. Sylvia Plath's kids turned out all right, right?
Don't think so. So, earlier Alex called Trump a bull, said he was super glad that he's hanging out with him.
This is when somebody posts in the group that Sylvia Plath's kids have amazing lives.
Right. One of them turned out to be Martha Stewart, who got fucking prosecuted by Jim Comey.
The other one turned out to be Jim Comey.
That'd be a great
That would be a great fun fact.
So here Alex talks more about how thrilled he is that he's with Trump.
Roger and I have never been more alive. Trump's never been more alive. Look at him. That's a lion right there on your screen. I am so thankful to God and my ancestors that I'm a moral person and that I knew in my gut to line up with that guy right there.
You didn't. It took you forever. It took you months. In your gut, you thought he was a con man and a front man for consortiums on the East Coast, you dumb prick. What are you talking about? Anyway.
And I tell you, wherever this train's going, I'm on it.
I'm going on this train to Georgia.
And everybody knows it. And Trump's gaining in the polls, even the fake ones. We're breaking their corrupt will right now.
Why would
you're
he
about
gain
to see
in
their
fake
maximum
polls?
Push. But I think if the Democrats and Deep State get their hands on a nuke, they're going to try to nuke Trump. I think more and more
why
that's
would
what
they
do,
nuke
him? Or crash the stock market.
You could just shoot him.
Because they want to crash it before they kill him or remove him or drug him. They could give him something to make him, you know, have a heart attack, too. I just pray for President Trump. Pray for InfoWars, pray for Roger Stone, and
don't.
Get great products you need. I need you to go buy t-shirts. I need you to sign up for AutoShip on fish oil. And
okay. Yes! AutoShip that fish oil!
You son of a bitch.
AutoShip that fish oil! They're about to nuke Trump. We're all gonna die.
They're
pray
gonna
for us.
Nuke him!
Pray for us! Pray for the- Wait, they're gonna nuke him? How do you nuke a person?
I mean, this isn't new. That's something he said before.
I know, but that's a small nuke.
It's so stupid.
Is that a bunker buster? Is that what they want to call it?
They're going to nuke him. Also,
oh man,
I need money.
How do you nuke Trump?
I mean, it would involve not just him, be a shit ton of people.
Well, are there any targeted nukes that only have the capability to kill one guy?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
By virtue of the fact that they're nukes.
Okay.
I think you could poison someone with, like, nuclear material, certainly. Alex has pretended.
See, there you go.
Alex has pretended that Roger Stone had
palladium poisoning. That's what they're going to do.
So, I mean, there's that. That's not nuking
palladium.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the devil, the tricky devil, Roger Stone now
Roger
shows
Stone
up.
Is going to show up?
Roger
Fuck.
Shows up.
He can't be here.
So, in this clip, they're talking about that op-ed that was published anonymously. The, I'm inside the campaign or the administration, but I'm cool. No time for that. That kind of op-ed. I understand why the New York Times would publish it, but hey, not interested.
Got a lot of clicks, didn't it, New York Times?
Yep.
Hey, did it do anything? Are you providing any fucking value? No, you're just providing a fucking bullshit source to lie in fucking... I don't even care if it's 100% true. That's a self-serving piece of shit trying to assuage his conscience in a way that you should not allow.
Yeah.
They should have received that and been like, fuck you, put your name on this or go home and cry like a little bitch. Oh, you're trying to save the country while at the same time you're letting everyone fucking die. Go fuck yourself.
No time for it.
Anyways, great job, New York Times.
But at this
doing
point,
great work.
At this point, Roger Stone shows up and he speculates wildly about who he thinks wrote that.
And it's possible if this New York Times editorial isn't a total fraud, that it was written by Elaine Chao, for example, the red Chinese operative who's married to the majority leader and who was the longest serving member of the George W. Bush cabinet. Why you would appoint such a person is an odd question. Or maybe it's Huntsman, who
could
openly
be
trashed Donald Trump during the presidential campaign.
God, Roger wrote it, didn't he?
Our ambassador to, you guessed, Russia. No, I think that the soft coup is in full gear now. This is why they're going after you. It's why they're going after me. But we're not important. It's Donald Trump they're going after, and this bullet is aimed at his head, I say.
God, I wish.
Rhetorically.
Yeah. God, I wish.
So, my bigger issue is, like, you don't know shit, Roger. You're just talking shit.
Yep.
This is just nonsense. It's like, maybe it's Elaine Chao.
Could
maybe
be.
Maybe it's Huntsman.
I bet it's Holder.
Could be anybody.
Could be anybody.
So it's just like, hey, anybody who I think might not be cool with Trump, let's cast a little bit of, suspicion their way. Alex's, his narrative on it is even more crazy.
Yeah.
I don't have a clip of this, but his version of it is, that it's a professional writer for the New York Times.
Okay.
Using a composite of leakers. Okay. So like McMaster's, like all the old leakers. Reince Priebus.
Do you know what's crazy? I would actually buy that more than
no.
a lot. Like if
New York
I
Times
wanted.
Couldn't do that.
No, of course not. But if I was a fiction writer.
Yeah.
I would write essentially the same thing.
But,
like, there's no difference between fiction and reality at this point. Why not?
The issue comes down to, like, the New York Times knows who that person is.
Do they?
Yes.
Well, then what the fuck are they doing?
You don't...
They're betraying our entire fucking country by doing this.
No.
Fuck off!
They're holding up journalistic standards. If someone has a journalistic anonymity as a source, you protect that. I think
then
that's
you
a very
don't
important thing.
Publish that bullshit is what you don't do.
You don't publish it if you don't know who the person is.
Yeah, because you don't
then
publish
you
it.
You could have written it.
You don't publish it if you do know who the person is and they refuse to put their name on it.
I kind of agree with you there, but once it's published, they can't tell you who it is. I stand
that's
by that.
That's cowardly. That's no.
That's
this
how
is,
journalism works.
No, I understand that, but we don't live in a journalism works time. Journalism doesn't work now.
The only reason I brought it up is because I do know that the New York Times knows who wrote that.
Yeah.
Op-ed. It's anonymous to the public. It's not anonymous to them.
Uh-huh.
So now, the only reason I'm re-bringing that up is because Roger Stone likes to play with the idea of anonymity.
Okay.
And he does so in this next
one. Here we go.
So now we have the phony New York Times anonymous editorial. By the way, I have an editorial
phony
coming up at Stone Cold Truth. It's anonymous, but it's from a senior official at the Clinton Foundation who says that Hillary held the women down while Bill raped them. It's just as credible as the New York Times. It's anonymous, of course, but we stand by it.
Cool, man.
That's actually pretty funny.
He fucking knows that. He knows that's all this shit too.
That's a solid move on his part.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give him credit for that.
He's trying to dance on the dance floor.
I wrote an anonymous op-ed about how, everything I've ever said is true is true.
And it's
anonymously.
But it's as true as any anonymous thing that's ever been written.
Yeah.
It's not how it works.
No, I know, but so that's not a terrible move.
Right, but you understand that all the things that you're expressing about journalistic integrity maybe being moot, now he's abusing people who feel that way. He's abusing that mentality that more or less you were expressing in that last clip. Or, well, it wasn't a clip, it was our conversation. That's the reason why it's important for journalism outlets who hold themselves to a certain standard to follow that standard. Because people don't. Like Roger Stone. Now he's just talking shit. He doesn't have some sort of op-ed that he's actually gonna publish. That's just him talking shit, having fun.
Yeah.
But Alex does do stuff like that.
Right.
All the time. He has his, Zach who comes on.
Right.
And spills bullshit.
I don't know if I concur with your, evaluation of my stance on that.
Fine.
My stance on that was, fuck whoever wrote that anonymous op-ed.
No.
And then publish their name. I don't understand what it is you think that I was saying there.
It's that.
Oh, do you mean the equal and opposite reaction being that me saying that we should do what they're doing there?
Time out.
Okay, sorry.
You just said, that I did not understand you. And then you elaborated, fuck the person who wrote it and publish their name.
Yeah.
I agree with the first part. I don't agree with the second part.
Okay.
And that's what I keep coming back to. I keep trying to argue that they made an agreement not to. The other option is don't agree to it. And then don't print it. Which
yeah.
I would also be fine with. But they chose to go that direction, as we know, because it got them tons of clicks, and it got a ton of traffic
yeah.
and all that stuff, and God bless them.
I apologize if my position wasn't made clear. My position was,
I think it was.
My position was double crosser.
No, but they're
that's my position. That guy is writing an anonymous op-ed saying that I apologize.
Don't gender
I'm
that.
I'm not
going to
gender
person.
Specific. Again, I think it's Mike Pence. But it's not him. I don't give
no.
a fuck. It is not like we should make up bullshit or anything like that. It is that if you are working with a known bad faith operator, then, and he says, oh, I agree to, and I'm going to write this op-ed as long as you print it anonymously. That guy's a fucking double crosser. Double cross the shit out of him. He's writing it in bad faith. Then you act in bad faith.
You don't know
that. Fuck
that
guy.
You don't know that.
I don't care.
Fine. You'll never be a journalist then.
I'm not trying to be a journalist.
No, I'm
trying to stop this mother. Actually, I'm not. I'm just doing this show
you're
with you.
Yelling.
I'm just a piece of shit too.
And that's fine.
No, fuck me. I get
fine.
It. No, I agree.
No, like your position is trash though. I mean, like I get the emotional part of it, and I agree with that, but
yeah.
the position is garbage. Like, yes,
okay.
absolutely, the fuck the person who wrote it.
Yeah.
We can agree on that. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
Right.
Double cross them?
Absolutely.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Why not?
Because you do irreparable damage to yourself as a journalist.
How?
Because you now have burned a source.
And that source is in the Trump administration. Who gives a fuck?
So fucking what? It doesn't mean, it doesn't, the thing that I would say is that at what point are you going to draw the line of like, okay, this person deserves me to disrespect the agreement that we have made with them? Where are you going to draw that line? And for what reason?
Right. No, that's an argument that I completely accept.
But then that's the whole agreement. That's the whole conversation.
However, here's my argument against that, right? So you burn the source in the White House. You reveal that you have no compunction on taking down this motherfucker. And what if it was Pence? So then now Pence is gone. Who gives a fuck, right? Now, your argument then is now sources within the White House can no longer trust the New York Times.
No.
Who gives a fuck?
No.
Or your argument is that sources in the future from other places
period.
Now have to be concerned with whether or not the New York Times is going to burn them based upon a moral decision that they make. And that's bullshit because it's the New York fucking Times. What are they going to do?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that what are you talking about? The New York Times burns a source of this magnitude. Of this level, and then people in the future are going to not talk to the New York Times?
Maybe not.
Then why? What? The New York Times has a 100-year history of not doing exactly what it is we're talking about.
Right.
And the one time
but
that they
this,
take a stand means it matters so much more. It means it is a real thing. It means that it is not a capricious act. It is not an act that is taken lightly. It means that this is a national fucking crisis. And they're treating it like one.
This is hypocritical of you to be drawing this line for someone who loves whistleblowers. Like, this is crazy. The very idea that you think that institutions should be able to go back on agreements that they make with people to protect their anonymity goes so against just the baseline of journalism. It goes against the baseline of honor. Like,
if you're
it
not
really does.
Honor. If you're not
yeah,
willing,
to some extent,
if you're not willing to accept that there's a difference between an Edward Snowden and a reality winner compared to a hypothetical Mike Pence, as a whistleblower,
you just chose. Then that's that it's Mike Pence.
Fine, fine. It's the reason is the writer uses a word that Mike Pence has used in speeches multiple
Whatever.
Times. The point being this: if you don't accept that there's a difference in a whistleblower who needs to be protected and a whistleblower who is pretending that they're doing the right thing while at the same time facilitating the very thing that they're pretending to be against, I don't see how that makes sense. I don't see how that's hypocritical.
Well, because I don't think that the principles of journalism and the principles of source protection have to do with whether you think the person's an asshole or not.
An asshole? That's it?
You have no idea who this person is.
I don't care.
All your complaints are that they're an asshole. That's all it boils down to.
What are you talking about? Did you
read
the...
Because they're a part of the administration and they're like, oh, I want to not be blamed for this.
Exactly.
They're an asshole. That's all you're saying.
No, I'm saying that they're the ones who are saying we're taking the bills that we're keeping him from, ending the trade agreement with South Korea. We're not stopping him from his immigration policy. We're the ones who are avoiding war with Iran. We're not stopping him from fucking, sending the biggest bomb over there. We're the ones who are doing all of this shit, but we're not stopping the actual harm that he's really doing. We're stopping the apocalyptic harm that he's doing.
Right. I'm not defending the non-actions that maybe should be made, but I am saying that outing that person doesn't help at all.
I don't understand how it doesn't help.
How would it?
What do you mean?
How would it help?
You take one down.
You know that person's... Okay, great.
You take one down.
Great. Then you get another person in. It'll do the exact same thing.
Fair enough. That's a fair counterargument.
That doesn't matter.
However, imagine the difference in impact. Imagine the difference in impact between an anonymous op-ed written by a nebulous Trump administration versus an actual op-ed naming a person in the administration who is admitting that they are actively sabotaging the democratic process.
All right, now let's imagine the field day that the already violently threatening to murder journalists alt-right Alex Jones, Jack Posobiec, Mike Cernovich world of propaganda. Imagine the field day they would have when the New York Times doesn't honor their agreement to keep confidentiality of this person who works in the Trump administration.
How different is it from what they're doing now?
It would be, they would be right.
Oh, so they kill a guy? So they'd be right?
Okay.
How are they not?
No, their argument would be right that the New York Times was doing something that is outside of their ethics.
But their argument,
outside of their mandate.
But their argument is always that the media is doing something outside of their ethics.
Right, and they're wrong. You can't let them be right.
So what is that? What is the difference between them saying that they're doing something and them actually doing something?
Principles.
For what? And that's why we lose.
Fine.
All right, that's a fair argument.
Like, what do you? I'm not this guy who's going to sit here and say like, "Hey, let's let everything burn while we stand by. We did everything right." I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not that. There are people who have that like. Let's uphold all of our norms and
yeah.
punch a Nazi in the face.
Yeah.
I'm not on that tip. But I do think that there are, like, pieces of just integrity and the way things are done correctly that cannot be impugned. And when
yeah.
you do, all you do is allow people who have bad faith and bad will to win. In that circumstance, if the New York Times were to name this person
yeah.
after there was an agreement that it was anonymous, all you would do is verify every single narrative of the New York Times is their Chi-Com globalist weapon systems against the American people. Trump has said they're the enemy of the people. Look at them. Not allowed. They went back on their deal. This is dishonorable.
Right.
You allow so much of that stuff. So that's a negative consequence. That's one piece of it. But then the other piece of it is you don't allow yourself to continue to do the work the way you need to do.
I respect that 100%. I really do.
But really, all you've said that you gain by burning this person is one of them is down.
I think that changes the game, though.
It doesn't.
I really do.
It doesn't at all.
I really do.
How?
Because once you show... Look. if you have somebody, if you name
the source,
New York
Times, and you show we don't give a fuck about the agreements that we've offered, then anytime in the future someone is like talking to you, like maybe we'll get named.
Yeah, no, I
what
get
does that,
that.
Get?
I get what, that.
Is that the benefit you're talking about? Because that's not a
no,
benefit.
No, I mean the benefit of people not being able to escape it anymore.
But that doesn't achieve that.
I feel like you changed the conversation on
I
me
didn't.
In a way that
I didn't.
Don't like.
I'm following the thread that you're making and trying to defend my maybe centrist position, but.
Okay, here's, Let me try
let me start back from where
I felt like you skipped off.
I will allow you to do that, but before you do, okay. Let me just say really quick, the idea of they can't get away with this anymore is not at all a goal you would achieve through that action.
I'm sorry, I reacted too quick. That's not the point that I was looking for.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
The point to start with, your contention, we can't let the alt-right be right about journalistic integrity, right?
I mean, it's a small point, but yeah.
Right. We don't exist in a world where that matters. Because
we do.
To the people who are alt-right, they are. Regardless of reality, the people who are right are alt-right, who are Nazis, already believe that they're right.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they actually are or not.
I have to stop you already.
How so?
Because you have now allowed the people like Mike Cernovich to contextualize the world for you. You've allowed them to define things. Because you're saying that they're right no matter what anybody does. And
no,
maybe,
that's not
that,
what I'm
no,
saying. That's not
that
– I feel
that,
like you're
no,
cutting me off in
that,
an unfair way, but
that
that's
may,
fine.
That may be true to the people who follow them.
Right.
I'm not talking about perception.
Who are the people who are fucking killing us?
I'm talking about the reality of it.
Like, we don't live in their reality.
Their perception of stuff will always be that these institutions are evil and they do evil stuff.
Yeah.
It is not true, but it is true to the people who follow them.
Yeah.
When you behave the way they accuse the world of behaving,
yeah.
You make it true.
Yeah.
And then you validate other arguments that they make that you probably don't want validated.
I don't track that.
Fine.
I don't track that.
Go back,
look, that's,
go back to your point then.
That's the, when they go low, we go high.
It's not.
And we lost.
It's not that at all.
How so? How does that not track? I don't know if we're even talking about our show anymore. I feel like we're getting into a little bit of a personal spat.
We're not. Go back to your main point.
My main point being this. When the New York Times takes a real stand like this, where they say, this is a guy who is saying exactly what we all kind of knew was going on. And he wanted to say it anonymously he's a fucking... I apologize. Although, hold on. Let's stop one second. How many she's are in the fucking...
Few.
Yeah, exactly. Although that makes it even more likely that it is a she.
Could be Betsy DeVos finally having a moment of clarity.
Oh, man, let's kill her. Politically, if they were to finally take an actual stand, that is a symbolic moment more than it is a representative moment of their entire track record. It is a point of saying enough is enough. We're going to finally do this. That does not mean that they're going to burn every source going forward.
Gives every source concern that they might.
Does it?
Yeah.
It gives every source. Every single source. Like, the New York Times has never kept confidentiality before. This one time where an administration is fucking performing what is essentially a right-wing coup on a formerly republic nation.
Right.
And they're finally burning a source. That is going to invalidate every single thing going forward. The New York Times doesn't have a track record that suggests maybe it's fine until you're a Nazi.
I agree with the end goal of it. And I you know, like, fuck all this shit, but.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not the path. It's not the right path.
I know.
It doesn't achieve the thing that you want it to achieve.
I don't disagree with you.
It does, but it doesn't.
I don't disagree with you.
All
on
it
that
does
front.
Is invalidate their process and confirm vague conspiracy theories that people with bad faith have. It's not, I'm sorry, like, I don't, I'm not mad at you, and I don't think that you're dumb or anything like that, but like, I think that this line is not, it's not productive. It's not, it doesn't help. There are other things, certainly, that, like, there are other norms that can be broken and be helpful, but this one, it's one we need. It's important. If they hadn't made an agreement, which they clearly did, because that's how this works.
Of course.
If they hadn't, then, yeah. I mean, like, if someone just sent them to it with a request that this is off the record, then that doesn't constitute an agreement that it's off the record, and then they could burn them.
Yeah.
That would be...
No, I get that.
In the same way, like we already mentioned, with BuzzFeed and Elon Musk. But the fact that it came out the way that it did means that there was a proffer and a deal that was made.
Of course.
So, you can't... It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You don't... I get the outcome that you imagine. And like I say, I kind of agree with it to some extent. Like, it would be better if people weren't allowed to pull bullshit. It would be great. But the real outcome is that people like Alex's worldview, they're confirmed. They're reinforced. And I don't think that's worth knowing who wrote a stupid op-ed.
I am going to fundamentally disagree with you, and I am going to accept that is not a...
We may like, never here's, get to the bottom of this, so...
No, we're not going to agree on this.
So, Jordan...
God, I love our show, Dan.
It's so good.
I love our show so much.
I know that we disagree a whole ton, and I love you.
I love you too.
And I don't discount your opinions, though we may disagree. I like for us to try and find some middle ground, but if we can't, then we can't, and that's fine. There's a lot of stuff we don't. There's a lot of times that you call for violence and I'm a pussy about it. Or,
don't say it that way.
Yep.
No, you're reasonable and correct about it. And I am a reactionary asshole who is trying to get everybody fucking killed.
You're a hothead and I'm milk toast. And that's the dynamic.
No, me calling for violence is the worst thing that anybody can do. You're right.
But
I mean, I'm emotionally right.
That's kind of the
intellectually you are fucking right on it, and emotionally I feel good.
So before we got too deeply entrenched in an argument about journalistic integrity, we were listening to Roger Stone appear on Alex's show the day after he's been in D.C.
Right.
And Roger has some thoughts about how Marco Rubio comported himself when Alex accosted him.
You know, I think a serious question here would be, is Marco Rubio literally the only person on planet Earth who doesn't know who Alex Jones is? I mean, I know you were very upset about this, almost despondent that he doesn't know who you is. You are, Alex.
Roger's saying that, but I kind of jokingly, but I think Alex really was kind of despondent about the idea that he didn't know who he was.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what cave did this guy live in? To not recognize what's going on to conservative and Republican voices on the internet, Marco Rubio is allegedly a conservative Republican. He seemed oblivious to the entire issue of internet censorship and obsessed only with how the Russians and the Chinese may be censoring people.
Wait, isn't that Alex's whole narrative that the Chinese are censoring stuff? Wait, so Rubio was aware? What? Cool, man. Cool,
yep.
Cool. Oh,
yep.
This guy's actually in Congress and doing the work that you want him to do, talking about the Chinese censorship, but he doesn't know who you are, so you're fucking pissed
off. So it's, yeah.
Wah.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
Now, Jordan.
Yes.
I told you earlier in this show that Alex keeps playing the Final Countdown.
Right.
Which I have speculated is kind of a hearkening back to his past. In the same way that we've heard him sing along to country in the last, like, couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sort of, again, like, some of his
getting
roots
into it.
Coming back.
Yeah.
And I think in this next clip we get to hear another much more very legitimate returning to his roots.
We get to hear the Offspring's cover of the Final Countdown.
No. But
oh, no.
No, no. I think we see, in terms of Alex Jones's future trajectory, I see two roads.
Yeah.
And this one sort of describes the more preferable version.
I almost can't have fun here because, yeah, we had a big victory lap, as you called me last night and said, wow, great job.
By Nipsey Hussle.
accusers. And they couldn't believe it. They looked horrified. And now they're even more horrified that they don't get, as they kick us off cyberspace, we just go take over the third dimension. Like the InfoWars army we've launched. It's totally peaceful, saying get information out, wake people up. They're really starting to get scared, I think, Roger.
Well, and that's why Owen Schroyer and I are going to set up a GoFundMe for our new Bullhorn Fund. In other words, we want members of the InfoWars army to be armed with multiple
Tyranny
bullhorns
Crusher!
To make sure their voices are heard.
Yep.
Tyranny Crusher!
Alex is going back to his bullhorn roots.
Tyranny Crushers 3 through 485. GoFundMe, baby.
There's, like legitimately at this point, with him being kicked off of Twitter, he now has, like, Gab and Mike Adams has his real.video or something like that.
Sure.
So, but, I mean, like, I went and watched a video on there. It had, like, 1,000 hits or something like that. Like,
yeah.
As one of his latest shows.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, there's no, like, market penetration. There's no encroachment or anything like that, which it should have if he has the audience that he says he has. So, like, there's only really two ways for him to go. One is, like, a very violent coming to God moment, like him realizing, like, I've been holding back, I'm just gonna start throwing n-words around, I'm gonna just be a white nationalist,
might as well toss it in there.
I have been holding that back, I'm going to pander to these Nazis that I've already been loving.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is just diminishing returns forever. Like, it's just going to be him, you know, wah, doing the same shit he always does.
Until how many viewers does Stormfront have or whatever?
Way more than Alex, probably.
Well, yeah, then why not just migrate to that after he's been kicked off everything else?
They might not need supplements, though. They might have that covered.
That's true.
So his business,
that is true.
His business plan might be bunk there.
Yeah.
But he could.
White supremacists are genetically superior. They don't need super male vitality.
At the same time, there's no reason to migrate. Like there's no reason to not lose the supplement stuff.
Right.
Like, at a certain point, he has enough of an audience that he could just, like, milk them for money.
Yeah.
And do a small scale version of what he's doing. But the unfortunate thing about that is that, like, okay, then you lose that big old studio.
Uh-huh.
You become basically what you were in 2007. Which is still great, still fun. Now you gotta have Ted as your boss again. Now you're gonna be a little bit later, more down the ladder, a little bit further, and you're back on the street with a bullhorn. That's the ideal situation, I think.
But that's the most fun situation for him.
It's the most
natural. He just doesn't know it.
It's the most natural course for his career to have gone.
Right.
Like Icarus, he flew too close to the sun. He behaved in such inappropriate ways, and he blew all of the things that he had created.
Yeah.
Like, he did a lot of work in terms of creating his show, creating the fan base that he had in social media. I mean, granted, he didn't do all of that, but he was a part of creating all of that, and then he fucked it all up. I mean, there were choices he made, and it wasn't Trump. It was the other choices that he made.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him come back to his bullhorn roots, because
he couldn't afford his mortgage if he did, though.
Yeah, probably not.
That's kind of, to me, that's kind of where we're at right now. Is Alex has so much more fun being the underdog who doesn't have anybody listening to him, who is constantly scrambling with gold ads and with racist ass Bob Chapman throwing everything around. But
he died in 2012, by the way.
Which, who fucking knows? He might come back.
Sure.
But man, he's got a mortgage, dude.
It's different for us to be in this position where we're like, yeah, come back, baby. Come back to this low rung.
Yeah.
For someone to have tasted gold, you know, like,
right.
Tasted truffles.
Right.
And then come back to, like, oh man, I could just do my bullshit and live in an apartment. This is great.
Right.
Like,
no.
For me, it's great.
No, if we got a show on MSNBC for 5 years, I don't know if we'd be super cool going back into this apartment recording again.
I would, because I'd be.
I think we both would.
Time.
I think we would be pissed off every time.
Yeah.
What are we doing? A show? Fuck off!
Throwing microphones across the room.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be terrible on TV.
Madhouse coming up! Fuck it.
What are we at? Who advertises on this fucking show? Get him out of here.
Jordan, we're doing it live. Fuck it, we're doing it live. I would have a Bill O'Reilly clip for sure.
Would be a lot of tears on our TV show.
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, yeah. God, that would be great to see on television.
God, we'd be amazing.
But there is a big difference between being cool with a certain position and falling to a certain position.
Alex
would have much more of like a, I used to have caviar and now no one loves me.
Right.
Sort of thing, which would be bitter and be tough, but it's still preferable to me than him unleashing the demon that's within him.
Yeah.
The outright white nationalism and the outright horrible bigotry that is there. Like, I don't want it to become like, all right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I censored myself because I was on all these streams. And if you fucking kid yourself for a second and think that Genesis Communications Network will kick him off if he starts throwing N-words around or it just becomes an outright white supremacist, don't kid yourself. I mean, Ted Anderson for years released Bob Chapman's newsletter, The International Forecaster, which I've read a bunch of lately.
Dan, could you read me a nice little excerpt from one of Bob Chapman's journals, Dan?
Let me see if I can pull this up.
Let's see if you can pull up something that maybe expresses some sort of, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, white nationalist viewpoint.
This is from the August 2003 issue. He puts out like four issues a month or so. This is one of them. He's complaining. Just to be clear, Bob Chapman, if you guys have not heard the show before, is someone who made all of his money by stealing gold from apartheid South Africa. And,
you know, like a good guy.
And then once apartheid started falling apart, he fled the country.
You know, like a good guy.
And then told people you shouldn't get into South African gold because they have AIDS there. And the entire social system is a bust.
Like a good guy.
So in this issue of his journal, he advises people against South African gold because he's against the mining unions that are starting to exist there.
Unions, they just destroy labor.
He argues that the National Mine Workers Union is run by Marxists. And he goes on to say that, quote, black empowerment is only another way of saying communist takeover.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, boy.
You know how when black people want to be alive, they're communists?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes sense.
So in September 2003, he put out a journal where he was talking about immigrants.
Dan with receipts is my favorite, Dan.
Quote, unfortunately, the Republican agenda of Mr. Bush is returning to pre-9/11, an amnesty for illegal Mexicans. As we reported earlier that under the guise of controlling or regulating illegal immigration, Arizona Senator John McCain and his House colleagues Representative Jim Colby and Jeff Flake would grant permanent residency status over a period of years to illegal aliens already in the country. That is 1986 all over again, only this time we're looking at making 10 million felon citizens.
Oh!
Most illegals have a third grade education and don't speak English. We are told by sources in Washington that as soon as this is passed, the Republicans are coming after your guns.
I cannot believe that Trump became president, Dan!
So also, Bob wants to talk about, we know that he lived in apartheid South Africa, but he also lived in Rhodesia.
Uh-huh.
The white supremacist state that became Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah,
after
yeah.
a lot
Weird.
Of trouble.
Huh.
A lot of growth pains in getting rid of that white supremacist state. Bob Chapman kind of thinks that Rhodesia was pretty cool.
I don't know why.
In 1970 to 1973, the Zimbabwe dollar, which at that time was called the Rhodesian dollar, was 1.25 to the U.S. dollar. A few years ago, it was 8-1, and last week it was 6,000-1. You can accomplish this when you have a dictatorial Marxist tribal government. You may choose to disagree, but we see America heading in that same direction.
Did he say tribal?
Yeah.
I really don't think he meant, like, governed by tribes.
No, he's talking about
I think
black.
He means more like
that's racist.
You know what? I'm going to – you know what? I'll stop right there. I can't presume to judge somebody else based on their words.
I mean, I would say that, you know, Rhodesian government was dictatorial.
Oh, anyway, the white supremacist Rhodesian
There's
government?
So much more of this. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Alex could – just start expressing the most overt white nationalist, white supremacist rhetoric in the world. And Ted Anderson would be like, let's do this. Let's make money.
Yep.
Because he put out that newsletter for years. He's totally fine with it. All this world is totally fine with it. They just want to not have any consequences for it.
Yep. Like,
not the exact consequences.
It's like they own NFL teams.
We're going to get to that in a second.
How are we going to get to that?
We're going to get to
There's no way that this tracks to that.
It does.
All right. Of course. Actually, you know what? Of course it does. I brought up the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I be silly enough to think that that's beyond the pale?
You're a soothsayer.
Ugh.
Anyway, so Alex is in trouble basically because of his harassing of Oliver Darcy, which we've already talked about a little bit.
Yep.
Turns out Roger's not a fan of that dude either.
Of course not.
Yeah, it's Kafka-esque. That Darcy guy did not do well yesterday. I thought that you exposed him as the fraud that he really is.
You did great.
It was a total Mr. Jones goes to Washington moment. And I got to congratulate you because you had the courage to go right there into the lion's den and confront the face of evil. I mean,
so Roger is right on board with the things that got Alex in trouble with.
Weird.
So.
Weird. Cool.
So Alex called Oliver Darcy a possum coming out of a cow's rear end, as I recall. I believe that's how he phrased it.
Have you ever seen that?
I haven't, but Alex has.
Is that a thing, though?
Alex has seen it.
He has seen it.
And, of course, talking to the man that looks like a possum that just climbed out of the carcass of a dead cow. When I said that to him, he said, oh, you already said that before. I'm like, oh, you were watching. That's what you look like. I mean, the possum coming out of the end of a dead cow, I've seen it before. They have a look on their face like they've done something wrong. We'll be right back. You got some evil eyes, boy.
What?
And then he just...
What?
And then he just...
Wait, you just go to break after that?
And then he also, as he's going to break, re-says exactly the thing that's probably the most, like the most dog whistly of it all. You got some evil eyes, boy.
You know what? That's some white supremacist talk. I've accepted that he's a white supremacist.
Right.
I can let that go.
Right.
What I can't let go is that he's seen a possum climb out of a dead cow's ass before, and that's not explained. There needs to be a story behind that.
They always know that they've done something wrong.
I don't know what that means!
No one does.
Possums don't know the morality of climbing out of assholes!
Of course not. He's making this up. It's all bullshit. Yeah. It's just down-home Texas boy kind of shit. Now, you have not heard the video of Alex confronting and harassing Darcy.
No, of course not.
So now we're going to listen to a tiny clip of it so you get a small taste of it.
I think I'm actually contractually obligated not to watch that video.
Well, now you're going to get a taste of it.
Okay.
They're seeing it with no viewers, no followers. Everyone can't stand you. And no matter, you just shut everyone down on Earth, no one will like you. You understand that? You'll never have billions and billions of fans and followers. You'll never have people that love you.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say, Alex?
You are a dishonorable liar who would never even dare have me on your little tiny shows when you and Stelter call me a virus. You are a virus to America and freedom. You are authoritarianism. Just look in those eyes. The hunger to silence America. The hunger to extinguish the First Amendment. The hunger to deceive. But he can't do it because the fire of liberty is not going to be knocked out. And I want you to know I'm starting to come up here a lot. We're going to be seeing a lot of each other.
That's good.
Just so you know.
Always good to see you.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
Always
I understand
good to see
that that's 45 seconds of their interaction, but it's indicative of the entire 9 minutes. It's Alex haranguing this person who's just like... It's always,
cool, man.
Always nice to see you, Alex.
Dude.
Got anything else you want to say?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do here.
How you been, buddy?
I'm not doing an interview with you. I didn't agree
with
this.
How's the wife?
He doesn't even do that.
You doing all right?
That would be a microaggression to Alex. Although, if a leftist got offended by that, he'd call them triggered.
Oh, no, you got triggered.
So that, I just wanted to play that just to give some sort of an idea of like, that's the vibe of that entire thing where it's like, this is a guy being harassed.
Yeah.
Harangued. It's not like, haha, finally I've got the villain in my clutches and I get to give him what for.
Right.
It's just, look at those eyes. You suck.
Look at those eyes? What are you talking about?
There are a number of times, too, that Alex, like, sort of runs out of steam, and he's just standing there silently, and Oliver Darcy is like, you got anything else? Alex is like, hey.
And you know what? Have you ever heard about demons and you smell like sulfur and you.
Yep. It's that.
I'm so sleepy.
He's running on fumes.
I'm so sleepy.
With his own yelling for.
The demons are coming for the children and the. I'm so exhausted.
So.
Have you ever taken a red eye flight to Washington? Somehow I have jet lag.
Have you ever taken a red eye to do red eye with Greg Gutfeld?
I don't know.
He won't book me.
How many hours?
I'm funny.
Am I?
I saw Sherrod Small on
there. Am I in the Central Time Zone or the Western? Or am I in Mountain Time Zone?
He'll book Doug Benson. Why can't I get on Red Eye? I'm hilarious.
Who is Doug Benson? Can I get him on my show? Getting Alex with High would be a great show.
Oh my God. That's just the times he shows up on Rogan.
There you go.
So we got two more clips.
Yeah.
And then I think I want to do something weird, which you've never done on the show before.
Kill a human?
It's kind of InfoWars roulette.
Okay.
I have the video of Alex's response to him being kicked off Twitter.
Okay.
But I haven't watched it.
All right. All right. Now I'm in.
So that's a 9-minute video that we are going to watch after these last two clips.
So are we going to jump in and jump out?
Yeah, probably. And I bet we watch like 3 minutes of it and be like, fuck this.
I guarantee it'll be less.
But before that, we're still on Thursday's show. And like, I can't stress this enough. I don't have any clips of this because it's mostly embedded in like really boring, long patches of shit. But Alex does express a couple times admiration for Jack Dorsey. He expresses this idea that, like, he's not as bad as Facebook. He hasn't kicked me off yet. He doesn't realize a couple hours from then he's going to be kicked off there.
That's pretty schadenfreude.
It's only interesting to me in as much as, like, he would later probably say, like, we knew it was coming. He didn't know it was coming at all. You got blindsided by this like crazy.
No, and it seemed to suggest earlier in the episode, or the episodes before that, that he knew he was going to be kicked off eventually.
Well, I mean, he has to know that. As a whole, like, he knows he's skating on thin ice.
Right.
But he thinks that the ice is much thicker than it is because he keeps testing the ice, keeps stomping on it, doesn't break, and like, I'm safe.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, no, you hit the wrong patch and you fell fucking straight through. Now you're gonna freeze.
He's like the ice in futuristic violence and fancy suits.
The reason that I am certain that he has no idea what's going on is because most of this show has been basically a victory lap of him talking about, like, all these people suck. I went to DC.
Again, off of Nipsey Hussle's
Godzilla.
Most recent album.
I'm Godzilla.
Great album. Hustle and Motivate. Serious banger of a track.
I'm Godzilla. Marco Rubio sucks. Fair.
Fuck what they're saying, I'm saying this.
Darcy sucks. I clowned him. I made him look like a cuck.
Fuck Living Basic. I'm taking risks.
So that's a lot of the stuff. And then, dude, listen to this. This is a mic down thing because I think this is going to make you really mad.
Oh, Dan? Have I been really mad this episode? I can't imagine that.
More than normal.
Okay.
But I think.
I'm putting my mic down preemptively.
I think that, like, first of all, this is wild that he's coming in with this. But then second, it's also fun to see him consistently mispronounce the name of a brand.
Here's something that's really central to all of this and understanding. It's a Kit Daniels article that's at newswars.com. It's a Kit Daniels article that is at infowars.com.
Who cares?
Nike popularity drops.
What?
34%.
Nike!
As Generation Z rejects Kaepernick ad campaign. Now, why is this the key to everything? I'll tell you why.
Tell me why!
Because you've seen the NFL lose almost half its viewers the last 3 years. You've seen Hollywood lose about 38% of its viewers the last 3-4 years.
Not true.
You've seen every major corporate media outlet.
Real quick, I mean, that isn't true. Keep your mic down. But the part
the
Thanks, Dan.
No problem. The part of it that is true in terms of like diminishing stats is because of like cord cutting and because of like different ways to find the content that you want to watch.
Yeah.
So like it's just a modern technology issue in the same way that album sales went down when Napster came around. It's not because people didn't want music anymore. It was because there was, you know, we fuck cable and all that shit. So your argument's bogus, but this is going to get so much worse.
Will it lose 25% of its audience year after year, except for a few shows on MSNBC and Fox and ABC? But in general, they've all declined massively.
Not The Bachelorette.
But Nike popularity drops 34% as Gen Z rejects Kaepernick ad campaign. Why is that so important? Stock dropped $3.7 million. Then it dropped even more. And why?
Why?
Through time asking.
Because the idea that he sacrificed everything is not true. He was having a bad football season. He'd become scared of contact. He had become what they call a little bitch.
No! No!
And
no!
He couldn't take it anymore, so he got basically hired by Soros and others to be this PR person to go out and create racial strife and division in this country and to start kneeling during the national anthem, which is your First Amendment if you're not on the team.
What?
Cool.
Wait, what? How does that fucking work? That doesn't fucking work!
You can pick up your mic again.
That doesn't fucking work!
For everyone, this is an audio podcast. Jordan just stood up for most of that and was pacing. I've not seen you that, like, furious for that, which I'm glad
look,
I told you to put the mic down.
I stopped watching football 2 years ago on account of the fucking it's murder. But fucking, come on. I watched Colin Kaepernick destroy the Bears. Like, it wasn't even a fucking game. Like,
yeah,
that was when I cared about football. I was a huge Bears fan for a long time. Colin Kaepernick is one of the more talented quarterbacks.
But after
so
that,
many fucking NFL teams would be incredible if they had just fucking signed Colin Kaepernick. Even as a fucking backup, he would still be better than fucking whomever you want to toss in there. Like, so many people still have a job who shouldn't fucking have a job. And Colin Kaepernick was good. He's actually good at what he does. Do you know why? He was kept out of a job, Dan.
Yeah, and that's what his lawsuit is about.
Yeah, because he's right on.
Yeah,
it is an
there
entire...
There's evidence that the...
It's a labor issue.
Yep.
Oh, my fucking God.
His original complaint, not complaint, but his original... speech was about race issues, which is very valid.
It wasn't about race issues.
No, it was.
It was
about murder.
Police murdering people. And somehow that
based
turned into not supporting the troops. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Somehow it turned into like, you don't support the troops or any bullshit like that. Colin Kaepernick was literally kneeling as he stated because police were murdering black people.
And then
it's a really simple protest.
It's very interesting.
It should be the support of everyone on the fucking planet.
I agree.
We shouldn't have police murdering black people. And why is that a controversy?
And it's so fascinating because, I mean, even like what you've touched on already, like it is a protest that started with that and then very quickly became about labor. Like it has all of that wrapped up inside.
Yeah.
And all of those things Alex is against. And
yeah,
that's why he gets so like, I fucking hate this. I hate the idea of people having the right to work.
Yep.
You know, I hate the idea that they have power over their bosses. And then I also fucking hate the idea that this uppity dude coming in and trying to speak up in his position. Where
quick question, Dan. How many NFL owners are black?
I honestly don't know. I would assume not many, but I don't know. I would be surprised if it was like five. I don't know.
Guess.
Zero?
Lower. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dan.
Who, you the Kool-Aid man?
Oh, yeah. I just burst in through the wall with Colin Kaepernick facts at you.
I don't know that stuff because it's not like, you know, like sports is a very unfamiliar world for me.
Right.
But I hear
Let me put it to you in wrestling terms. You know Vince McMahon?
He's very black.
Yeah, imagine he owned every NFL team.
Do you remember when he was the ECW champion and he wore a do-rag?
I don't.
No. It was as close as he got to
wait,
respecting
he did
black
what?
People.
He wore
he's
a do-rag?
Very, he's a very racist man.
That's...
Vince McMahon
what?
Is the worst.
He wore a do-rag?
Yeah.
I'm not okay with...
It was a dark time.
Yeah.
Dark time in his
oh,
own
do you
company's
mean,
history.
Do you mean like all of his company's history?
Oh, God. He's not been good with race stuff.
What?
No.
What?
It's been pretty bad.
I'm sure he's been good with labor stuff.
There's
though.
That tag team Crime Time.
No, I'm sure everybody has health benefits because it's clearly a union company and it's really important to take care of your talent because
now that's
frankly,
another labor issue.
You wouldn't have a show if it weren't for your talent. You know, just like the NFL wouldn't have a league if it weren't for the talent that was playing the game. So you want to make sure that they're taken care of, right? You want to make sure that if they get an injury, their careers aren't over and all their money is forfeited.
For
that
their
would
own
be crazy.
Travel between shows. Look, they're independent contractors, and that's the
oh
best
yeah,
way
no,
to
that
do
makes
it.
That makes sense.
The best way
that
to
makes
do
perfect
it.
Sense.
Best way to do it.
Yeah.
No one seems to care because everyone thinks wrestling's stupid, but it's a huge
wow.
labor issue that
wow.
needs to be resolved.
It sure
it's
seems like it.
Horribly abusive.
Also,
now, granted,
Whole Foods fucking hurry it up and fucking unionize.
Everyone unionize.
Everyone unionize. Every time I try and bring it up at the office, people laugh it off, and I'm like, fucking, come on, guys. For real. Unionize. It's frustrating.
I mean, yeah. I think that, you know.
It's also frustrating that I work in an office, because comedians can't unionize. But anyways, that's a whole different story.
They could, very easily.
No way. Comedians
yeah.
could never unionize. Our scab labor would destroy us.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what's funny.
No, it's true. And
you could always hire scab labor. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So we have one more clip before we get into this no man's land of Alex's response to being kicked off.
Who the fuck knows what might happen?
And here's what I want to say. Earlier in the show, Alex was talking about how when he went to Washington, D.C., he got accosted by somebody. He expelled it
sure.
out later that someone
fucked
was accusing
a Russian
him
spy.
Of
yep.
being a Russian and
yep.
you know, all that stuff. And here is why... Him being kicked off Twitter the next day is fucking super dangerous. I don't think it's wrong that they did it. I understand why. You need to do it. You should have done it earlier. But the timing is really fucked up because on his show today, he said something that will become his narrative. This will validate him for the next, I don't know, at least 6 months.
On Tuesday, I told you you'll want to tune in on Wednesday. Because we're going to have some big news.
Big news. It's the big news, Brzezinski.
The folks know I don't hype. I just give you the facts.
Sure.
You're going to want to tune into the show tomorrow.
Sure.
Because I've decided, come hell or high water, I'm going to release the information on air.
Do it. Do it.
That will not be national news. They will
Coward.
Shut this down. Believe me, the order's going to go out. Do not cover this. But... They're making their move on this country.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no doubt now.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff they've been pulling is so over the top. Trump has to remove that special office that the Clintons left behind with Obama at the Justice Department.
So this...
Did he mean that Trump has to remove the Justice Department?
Sure, whatever. But it doesn't matter. This is just what he does all the time. Like, we can look back to our... podcast's history, and we can see the time that he's like, Jerome Corsi is going to be killed for the information that he has. He does this.
Going to be honest, I've never listened to our show.
He does this all the time. That sort of like weird tease of like, I'm going to do this soon. We're going to.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
if Jerome Corsi isn't killed by next week, you'll know that it's because we stopped the globalists.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but he does this stuff all the time. And because it, unfortunately, the timeline happens that like he's saying tomorrow, I'm going to fucking do this.
Right.
As if he hadn't done that 100 times before.
Right.
But because he said it on this show, I think that he's going to be able to use that as like a, but Alex is going to be able to use that as like, I was right. that's why they kicked me off. It's
yeah.
going to be a foundation of his narrative, which is cool, man. It's good, but
it's like if all of the times he said a terrorist attack is going to happen in the next 3 months.
Right.
It happened the
summer
next
of
day.
Rage is coming.
Yeah. If it happened the next day, he'd be like, look at how right I was. Like, unfortunately, coincidentally,
yeah.
he fucking nailed it.
Well, but he didn't nail it because the
well, it happened that day instead
right,
of tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happened 45 minutes after he said if it was going to happen tomorrow.
If his prediction was they're going to kick me off of Twitter because I'm going to reveal this, then he would have been accidentally right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's
yeah,
just
yeah.
saying, I'm going to reveal this tomorrow.
Right,
and
right,
then
right.
he'll retcon it and be like, that's
no,
why they
of
did
course.
It.
I assume tomorrow we're going to have to do an emergency episode where we fight against the devil.
Yeah. But for now, Jordan, this is the exclusive exclamation point.
Here we go.
Alex Jones responds to Twitter ban.
Let's do it.
I have the video in front of me.
Do you?
I do. I do.
Okay.
I'll give you as much updates as I can. But here we go.
Nascent iodine. Only at shop.real.video.
All right. All right. So what we've learned, so I'm watching this on real.video, Mike Adams' site.
How's he doing on Periscope right now?
The Health Ranger.
The Health Ranger.
The Health Ranger, Mike
yep.
Adams.
Yep.
I'm watching this on his site, real.video.
Real.video.
Turns out he's also selling nascent iodine. Uh-oh.
Crazy.
Anyway, here we go.
Welcome back to the War Room. I have to tell you, I'm actually getting probably the best exclusive in the world right now.
Oh my God, you're
I have
the worst!
To Alex Jones,
you're
and he's
so
the number
boring.
One story in the world, and
this is Owen.
He's been now officially terminated from Twitter. The last
terminated.
I got to pause.
He's been terminated.
I
got to
pause
Twitter.
Real quick.
Come on, Owen. Fucking suck it up and say he's been banned.
I've not watched a bit of Owen Schroyer. I haven't seen him in a long time. He's growing a sympathy beard.
He's growing a sympathy beard.
He also has a beard going.
Yeah.
And I will say it's a better beard than Alex's.
You know what? I started growing my beard again and now I feel like I need to shave it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastion, he had to go live on one of the mainstream social media networks. Alex, you've now been banned. So what
You're
do you
goddamn
do next?
Right.
Why do you think you got banned? And what does this mean for free speech in America?
It's so funny he's pretending he's not interviewing his boss. You know, like, oh, what does this mean for your future?
That would be fun if he actually knows. Like, if he has the sense of like, hey, Alex, I'm interviewing you. Because you aren't going to be my boss that much longer.
Also, what does this mean for the future? Is like, should I make my
Alex,
resume?
Alex, what's my CV look like? Do you think I could be hired on at another organization?
I hate to say this, but his beard doesn't look terrible.
Mm.
Bums me out.
That happens.
Owen has good coverage.
How's my beard look?
Terrible.
Fair enough.
That's fine.
Well, I was taken down not because we lie, but because we tell the truth. And because we were popular and because we dared go to that committee hearing and stand up to Rubio and stand up to the lies of mainstream media
Buh.
And speak the truth. And then we ran into
Buh.
Oliver Darcy, who's the secret police captain who admits he goes around and gets people like InfoWars taken off other platforms because we confronted that monster that has abused us and lied about us and taken our speech. You know, because of that, they took us down. And because a group of Hispanic racist women.
What?
Just like
whoa,
KKK,
whoa, whoa, whoa. What just happened there?
White people came up and said, your mother married her brother. Whites are monkeys. And I said, you're a racist. Well, they hit us for that as well. And because I dared speak to Lord Rubio, that happened. But they had paid Democrats yelling and screaming up and down the halls, taking over the live events. But the
you're
media
a crazy
spun it
person.
Like I was bullying the press. I showed up and all the cameras were on me because I was a big national
he pulled his ear?
Issue.
Oh, there it is.
And there was big stories pressuring the company, pressuring their stock. Soros was pressuring their stock, shorting their
Today?
Stock reportedly, that if they didn't take me off, they'd do this. So
shorting the stock reportedly.
Yeah, all right. Fun, come on.
Fun.
Suck it up.
So Darcy, or Jack Dorsey, finally had his reason to do it. We knew it was coming. So
Oliver, bigger than Alex Oliver Jones, Jack Dorsey.
.com, his top story. Bigger than that, let's put it up on screen, please. Bigger than that,
still doing the fact that they're making air traffic control.
I like that he's on somebody else's show. And he's like, pull up that screen. I'm your boss.
Here's how you produce this shit.
You do what I tell you to.
Now, he got last week kicked off Facebook and off of Twitter. They're banning everyone, and they use me as the cover story. They first demonize who I am, build a straw man.
That's what they do.
And then they attack that straw man and remove it. So thank God DrudgeReport.com has been so integral in this. Drudge is the only mega site now. More traffic than any other news site in the world. Number two website, period. Thank God Drudge Report's covering it. Obviously, he has to link to CNBC right now because he doesn't have our analysis of what happened. But we have the raw video on Infowars.com. A lot of it was on Twitter. A lot of it's from other servers. But a lot of it now is on our own website because we knew the censorship was coming. And you can see me say, thank you, Jack Dorsey, for saying you support free speech. Thank you. But I did not say, as you said when I was banned for 7 days a few weeks ago, get your battle rifles ready for the media. I said Antifa says they're coming to our houses, members of Congress, members of ICE, get ready with your battle rifles to protect yourself there. So they're.
Doesn't it seem like he just admitted he said what he said he didn't say?
On what count?
Well, when he said, I didn't say get your battle rifles ready.
Yeah.
I said, get your battle rifles ready.
No, totally. We've talked about this already. Like that whole thing was, Alex was right about that. Like that's, I mean, he always calls for violence, but it's always, like, he always couches it, like, in sort of defensiveness and shit like that. He said much more things that were like, outwardly, like, these are demons, we must crush them.
Yeah,
sort of thing. But because of that instance, he talked about have your battle rifles ready by your bed because they're coming.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing. The way he talked about it, yeah, it is like, you need to kill them when they come in your house.
Oh, well, of course.
But it's
still. No, that makes sense.
It's still if they come in your house. You know, the media did treat him unfairly on that. It's one of the rare things that I'll defend him on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's, the way he did it was kind of a trap too. Like I'm not going to say that like he's clean on this, you know, like he was trying to fuck with people and use this violent imagery and the violent language in order to get people to respond to it.
Of course.
You know what it is? I'm done with this response. This response is stupid.
It really sucks.
It's boring.
I'm bummed out by it.
And also because I have the video in front of me, I hate looking at Owen Schroyer. Because that beard is okay.
What is
it? And it does bum me out.
Okay.
But.
He's got a sympathy beard.
Jordan, I think I found.
Yeah.
I think I found the final point that I
want to
make.
Let's do it.
That I think really brings all this home.
Okay.
Alex Jones and the people who are against Alex Jones, quote unquote.
Yeah.
They exist, and Alex Jones more than the other side, I believe, exist only because of centrifugal force. They only exist, and they're only able to continue being what they are because they keep moving forward, but they don't realize that the moving forward is just spiraling. It's just a tornado, and they're counterbalanced by the other person getting mad at them. So Alex Jones baits the other side into getting mad at them. They both move forward, and they spin around, and the force created by moving forward keeps them clutched together.
Right. And that's how Luke Skywalker created a force ghost to fight against what?
I feel like you're goofing on what I think was a pretty decent path.
No, it was a very good point.
I'm sick of this shit. I don't think it's interesting. I think it's
fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it's nonsense. I think that his response to being kicked off Twitter is exactly the same as everything he says all the time. It's bullshit. And you know what? Here's the thing. He has nothing else left to rebound against.
Yeah.
Like he has no person holding him back now. You know? He's free.
Yeah.
He's absolutely free. There is no Jack Dorsey telling him, hey, you can't do X, Y, or Z. Now he is just his own media operation, Infowars.com. They have their ability to stream.
Don't forget NewsWars. Newswars.com.
Let's
as well.
Forget that also.
I don't know if we can forget it.
He has nothing holding him back. Now he can be the purest Alex that has ever been. And I will guarantee that that's not going to be fun. So, I don't know. Here's my point. Fuck him. I don't give a shit that he got kicked off Twitter. It's a long time coming. Jack should have done it long ago.
Yep.
This isn't interesting to me at all. I've been trying so hard to care. And I just don't.
It's been a struggle.
I just don't. I don't care. He did things that he should not have done. Not on a, like, political level. On a human level. He did things that were abusive to other people. And he has for years. He was not punished for it. Now he is. Should have done it earlier. Didn't. Now it's happening. Great. So now...
Do you know where you can't find Alex?
I'll tell you a number of places. Our website.
You can't find him at our website.
KnowledgeFight.com.
Can you find him on Twitter anymore?
Can't.
No, you can't.
But you can find us at Knowledge_Fight.
Can you? Where else could you find us, Dan?
Well, I mean, you can't find Alex on Facebook.
You can't. Could you find Alex on iTunes?
No. Well, I think you can, but only if you have the RSS feed.
Can you find him on my hiccup level?
Jesus, you are going
nuts.
Yeah,
I'm hiccuping like wild.
We gotta shut this down. This has been fun. It's not been fun. I don't give a shit.
Dan, it's been amazing.
It's been very fun, but I just don't give a shit about this modern stuff. Like,
yeah.
The end goal of this, not the end goal, but the end result of this is either diminishment of Alex as a force, which I don't find all that interesting, or...
Also, it's a good thing.
Or him becoming an outright avatar of neo-Nazism and white supremacy.
Not like Aang.
Which
Aang was an amazing avatar. He was... Wait, what?
Alex is
not as good as
Korra.
Korra was an amazing avatar. She existed. Anyways, continue.
Race bender? How dare you talk over that?
Holy shit!
How dare you
Oh my god, race bender? Ooh, that's a trouble. Brian Kniesko, let's get this shit solved right now. Can you have a race bender? That's not okay.
How dare you? I made a great joke.
No, I apologize. I stepped all over what was an amazing joke. I apologize.
Maybe one of the three I've ever
How
made.
How dare you? That is, I am absolutely, fucking supplicating towards your incredible
so,
ability.
Look, all this is to say, I don't find any of this interesting, and the end result, one, bleh, and the other, we should be scared of that, but we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see what happens in the future. Hope that's not the case, but probably will be, because it's where the more money is, probably.
Yeah.
But no matter what happens, it really doesn't matter, because we need to remember.
What do we need to remember, Dan? Is there something specific about Alex Jones that maybe we should always have in our consciousness?
He probably killed a dude.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.